Good Friday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. The weather's been a rocking and rolling across our region, and it may still be where you are at. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki's been breaking in the past hour and a half or so and still keeping an eye on things. What's the latest, Dean?
Well, we've got tornado warnings continuing in effect from, let's say, Fauston down towards White Earth. Now, there hasn't been anything confirmed on the ground, but there's a line of very strong storms, and we're starting to see there has been rotation within these storms from the Fauston area down to White Earth. So if you're in those areas, again, this line is pressing through Fertile currently towards the Fauston and White Earth area. So those areas are under the gun with a tornado warning. Once again, nothing on the ground, but there's been indications of some pretty strong rotation on radar. Now, south of there, towards DL and into the WeFest area, this line of storms approaching your area, and the main threat with this is going to be damaging winds, 50 to 65 miles an hour. If you know anybody out at WeFest camping, give them the heads up that within the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to see this line of storms move into Lakes Country. Again, this is already east of the FM area, so we're in the clear here. We have had some reports of some tree damage out around the Castleton area. We're seeing numerous reports of power outages being reported around the Osgood area. Let's see, 4,400 customers are without power in Cass County. Let's see, 1,500 in the Larimore area. Mayville being, we're seeing possible down power lines in the Mayville area from earlier when these storms moved through, and rainfall totals with this as they move through could be anywhere between 1 to 2 inches of quick rainfall. So we could see, unfortunately, some more flash flooding. We're seeing wind gusts around the Crookston area earlier, about 57 miles an hour, 55 around the Wolverton area. So once again, the main threat with this is going to be damaging winds as this presses to the east into Lakes Country over the next 30 minutes. But again, once again, we're clear here in the FM area, but areas to our north, especially Fauston through White Earth, again, this line pressing through Fertile right now. Would love to hear if you're listening from Fertile, 701-293-9000. Let us know if you've had any damage from any of these storms. That would be appreciated. But again, from Fertile through Fauston down to White Earth, you're currently under a tornado warning. Now, we're not seeing anything reported on the ground, but we've got what we call a bow line. And typically at the peak of that bow, think of a bow and arrow. So at the peak of the bow, where it bows out the most, that's where your biggest threat is of severe weather. And that's what we're seeing right now. Fertile to Fauston down to White Earth. No confirmed tornado on the ground, but often you do get these brief, quick spin-up tornadoes. So again, Fertile to Fauston down to White Earth, you'll want to be taking cover immediately in case you do get one of those quick spin-up tornadoes. But nothing confirmed yet. But once again, if you have any damage reports, please let us know, 701-293-9000. But again, the worst of this now is through the FM area. It's pressing into Lakes Country. This will affect areas around WeFest here within the next 15 to 20 minutes. So you might want to shoot a message to people out there if you know anybody out at WeFest, because they're about to get hit. And again, the main threat, extremely heavy rain and damaging winds. There are going to be more storms in the forecast as we head into this evening. Will they be severe, and what are we looking for then? I'll have more details on that here coming up on Bonnie and Jace's show, if they let me back on.
We'll let you back on.
If my voice holds up.
Yeah, we'll give you a
break. Might have to write it down and we'll read it.
I'm just saying. That might work.
Keep your tube radio tuned to WDAY, and Chief Meteorologist Dino will keep us updated on all the latest weather developments as this storm continues to track to the east. The Moorhead Police Department has named a new assistant chief. Bill Alfelt joins the department after more than two decades with Fargo Police. Chief Chris Helmick says Alfelt's experience and leadership will be a major asset, adding that the two have worked closely over the years and Alfelt is an excellent fit for the team. Following a few years of construction, crews will now be able to use the Red River control structure. The river will be rerouted through that area in Horace to better regulate the flow and eventually mitigate flooding in the FM area. North Dakota Senator John Hovind says he's been working on this for years to prevent future flood disasters. The structure will eventually use gates to control flooding once construction is complete. The Cass County State's Attorney says she understands law enforcement's frustration when people get arrested and then a short time later are let out only to be rearrested, sometimes for a more serious crime. Kim Hegvik addressed the concerns on the Jay Thomas Show. The issue has made the news recently as Tyreek Jones was charged with a felony last year and the case ended up being a misdemeanor. Just days ago, he was accused of shooting and killing someone. He is still on the run. No parole for a Wahpeton man involved in a fatal hit and run. Chad Olson was sentenced to 10 years, serving five after striking and killing 20-year-old Bailey Bernstein and then fleeing the scene. The parole board denied Olson's bid for early release during a review this week. He'll remain behind bars with another chance for parole coming up in August of 2027. A small plane crash near Davenport in Richland County Wednesday night. The pilot's expected to be okay. Pilot managed to walk away from the wreckage and made it to a nearby farm where help was called. North Dakota health officials want to reduce cancer deaths over the next decade. The Health and Human Services Department says cancer remains the second leading cause of death in the state. This led officials to create a plan to reduce cancer deaths through prevention, early detection, and improved health care access. Time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman.
Jace Denman.
Yes, Jace.
Today. All right, PGA Tour St. Jude Championship at TPC Southwind in Memphis, Tennessee. Akshay Bhatia is in the lead at 8-under par. Tommy Fleetwood sits at second at 7-under par. There is a three-way tie for third at 6-under. Golfers begin teeing off at 7:20 a.m. Tom Hoagie is tied for 65th at 3-over par. Hoagie will tee off his second round at 11 a.m. and will need to have a good day to make the cut. Minnesota Lynx are going to take on the Washington Mystics tonight, 6:30 p.m. at the Target Center. Lynx enter with the best record in the WNBA at 25-5, just 10 games to go in the regular season. Twins and Royals, first pitch scheduled for 7:10 p.m. Joe Ryan is scheduled to be on the mound for Minnesota with Noah Cameron countering for Kansas City. Twins currently sit in fourth place in the AL Central with a record of 54-60, while the Royals are in third at 57-58. So I guess there's hope for tonight with the St. Paul Saints. I mean, Minnesota Twins. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Fargo Moorhead Redhawks beat the Lincoln Salt Dogs 7-2 on Thursday night to complete the series sweep. Jake Dykoff struck out seven batters over 6 1/3, while only giving up one unearned run, earning the victory. Nazwal Paulino recorded two outs in relief. Kyle Johnson gave up one run in one inning out of the bullpen. Angelo Cabral closed the door with a scoreless ninth inning. Dylan Thomas and Jose Sermo each hit a home run while driving in two runs. Alec Olin added two RBIs with Aiden Byron also picking up an RBI. The Redhawks are now off to Sioux City to begin a series against the Explorers tonight with first pitch scheduled for 7:05 p.m. Minnesota Vikings versus the Houston Texans this weekend at U.S. Bank Stadium will be at 3 p.m. Saturday with coverage on NFL Network. NASCAR is going to be at Watkins Glen in New York. And Friday they have the Craftsman Truck Series. 4 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Saturday, the Xfinity Series at 2 p.m. on the CW. And Sunday, the Cup Series, which will be at 1 p.m. on NBC Sports and USA Network. And tonight we'll have a best of primetime sports as we will be getting ready for NDSU Bison Media Day with a bunch of interviews that we'll be sprinkling in throughout the upcoming weeks leading up to Bison kickoff in about 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Or no. Yeah, tomorrow. Okay. They play on a Saturday.
And Vikings tomorrow. I'm not excited yet. Well, it's preseason.
Whatever.
Usually I like, and I'll probably watch it.
Yeah.
It's just the weather's so hot. Well, stormy now, but it's going to be so hot that I'm just not ready for football quite yet.
I have to double check last night because I know that Cam Miller was out there for the Las Vegas Raiders, and it looks like he had thrown a touchdown pass last night against the Seahawks in his first preseason action of the season, and that means obviously in Oakland you got Tommy Mellott out there as well, and we'll check to see if there's any other local guys that were playing last night when it came to preseason action in the NFL.
Yeah, fun to follow them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got showers, thunderstorms moving through. Again, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is in early this morning keeping an eye on the system. Looks like the strongest storm still over in Fergus Falls through Pelican Rapids, Detroit Lakes, White Earth up to Monoman, Erskine, Thief River Falls, heading up to Carlstead area, Hallock. They're seeing some strong thunderstorms. Those will continue to track to the east. Expect another band late this afternoon and evening of those thunderstorms. Some of them could be severe, the main threat being hail, 85 for our high temp. Winds will be out of the south, 10 to 15, low of 65. Tomorrow, partly sunny, breezy, humid, 81 for the high. But the good news is, after we get through today, two bands here, the storm should push out in no severe weather threat or any rain in the forecast here for tomorrow and Sunday. Looks like a nice weekend. 81 the high tomorrow and partly sunny, breezy also on Sunday with a high right around 82. We've got shower activity still here in the FM Metro. The thunderstorms have pushed off to the east. 73 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south, southeast 15 miles an hour. 5:11, time for your national news from ABC. Then a song of the morning, question of the morning coming up. If you have any storm damage to report, our phone lines are always open, and we'd love to get those reports. 701-293-9000. And I will tell you, Quartz and Pints in Moorhead, pretty cool venue. We went, I think it was two weekends ago, where we went and played a little pickleball. Definitely worth checking out, and I hope it's in Moorhead for a long time to come. Super, super cool. It reminded me of when I was growing up, we had a big rec community center where we could go play all kinds of sports in the summer. Had that kind of vibe to it, and people of all different age groups were out playing pickleball, and it was a lot of fun, and now they have beverages, and they have food as well. So go check it out. Today would be a great day to do that with their open house. All right, Dino's in. He'll be keeping an eye on the weather, but most of it has settled down. It's pushed off to the east, strongest storms well into Minnesota Lakes country, looking like Detroit Lake still, Bonoman, Erskine, Fawston, up to Thief River Falls. It looks like the strongest system is up north of Hallock, Minnesota, Carlstead, Hallock, Noyes area is where I'm seeing the strongest of the storms. And those will continue to trek off to the east, but expect another band late this afternoon into tonight. Some of those could be severe, with hail tonight being the main threat. Dino in, and he will continue to keep us updated on the latest weather developments. Our question of the morning, what's your favorite kind of dip and what chip, cracker, or bread do you like to eat it with? Plain and simple, 701-293-9000. That's the same number. If you have any storm damage reports to pass along, we'd like to get those in. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 5:23, Friday morning, Friday, finally Friday, as Jace would say.
Yes, right? Indeed.
And it was a stormy Friday, wake-up call for a lot of people throughout our region. Dino's going to be joining us here shortly. We have gotten at least one report of damage, a home up in Grand Forks or Grand Forks County.
I know that.
Got a picture of it.
Yeah, I know that in West Fargo, I woke up this morning around 4 o'clock, and all of a sudden, I see enough lightning that I literally looked out the window because I didn't know if there was just a light bulb that was flickering because it was coming on. But it was, and Dean can obviously speak more to this, but it was coming, right from west to east. It was just one of those kind of just walls of rain and wind and lightning, etc. That it hit over in West Fargo probably 4:15 to 4:20-ish, and it came down hard and heavy right away. And then obviously by the time I left the house at about 4:50 or so, then it had calmed down, so it was just sprinkling.
Right. And we've had reports of power outages in the Cass County Electric, reporting about 4,400 customers without power. Some down power lines being reported in Mayville. Peak wind gusts with this as it's pressed through, at least like from Crookston to Wolverton through the Fargo area, about 50 to 60.
Okay.
Now, again, Lindsay, one of my Facebook friends up in Grand Forks, had video on her Facebook page. And Lindsay, I hope you guys are okay if you're listening.
No, that's right.
It looks really scary. Yeah. You showed me the video
showed their bedroom wall basically collapsed in.
They've got insulation sitting on the bed there.
Insulation. Now, was that a tornado or straight line winds? The National Weather Service will have to go out and confirm that. But a lot of times, straight line winds can do as much damage as a tornado.
We've seen this summer. I mean, it was in June or July that James and I went to Mayville, and that was the time they had those 100-mile-an-hour straight line winds.
Right.
And a number of trees and things. Mayville itself was overall in pretty good shape, but we had sustained winds anywhere from 70 miles an hour up to 100 miles in different miles an hour in different parts of the state, and that did a lot of damage during that storm. So even the straight line winds, if high enough speed and consistent enough can cause a lot of damage.
Oh, yeah. And so there was damage, obviously, up in Grand Forks. Mm-hmm. And there's also the strongest part now of this bow line, if you will, stretches from Fauston through DL. So areas of WeFest getting hit with the possibility of damaging winds. If you know anybody out there, obviously give them the heads up. But it's already on top of them now.
Air horns, yeah. The sheriff's department going through the campgrounds early enough.
But numerous power outages around Osgood area as well. And again, if you didn't catch this earlier, about 4,400 customers without power, according to Cass County Electric. And again, one of our Facebook friends, Lindsay, up in Grand Forks, sent us some video of some pretty major damage to her place. She she said it actually threw her and her husband out of bed.
How
like
scary.
The wind, the bedroom wall collapsed in, and the strength of it of the wind threw them out of bed.
Wow.
Good. I mean, I hope it appears that there was no injuries. That's good news there. Mm-hmm. But again, this line is weakening slightly, but still in Lakes Country, you're still going to be dealing with possible 50 to 60 mile an hour winds and extremely heavy rain. There hasn't been, there hasn't been much hail reported with this, so that's good.
Okay.
This has been mainly a wind event.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing a break here in the Fargo-Moorhead area, and we will, but as we head towards 8, 9 o'clock, we'll see redevelopment of scattered storms. Now, I'm not expecting those to be severe, but they'll add to the rainfall, which we really don't need, obviously. We've
so
had some
8,
flooding.
9 this morning in addition to the bands later today?
Yes, so we're seeing this band move through right now into Lakes Country. We'll see a break now here in the FM area for a couple hours.
Okay.
Then we'll see redevelopment as we head towards 9 o'clock to about noon, 1 o'clock. Then we'll see a break through the afternoon, and then more redevelopment as we head towards evening. So about 5 o'clock through 10 o'clock tonight, that when we see that redevelopment of storms, those could be on the severe side. And those look to be more of a hail and wind event.
And so that is still, that is still looking to be in a serious event tonight then, Dean, number one.
Well, boy, you know, I don't want to discount this morning because we've already seen reports of wind damage, power outages. The one tonight, I don't think it has the potential of being as bad or worse. I think a lot of it's going to depend. Do we see enough sunshine or any sunshine today
bring up the heat
to destabilize the atmosphere? If we see sunshine this afternoon, odds are we're going to see more severe weather tonight.
Okay.
So the ingredients are there,
right,
even without the sunshine. But if we do see the sun to destabilize the atmosphere, we could see even more intense storms from about 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock tonight.
So with us having storms this morning, another rain event from 9 to noon potentially, and then more a chance for severe storms this evening, what exactly are the ingredients that are causing us to have multiple kind of rounds that are coming through the area with either rain, high winds, and or hail? I mean, is there a high pressure front, a low pressure?
There's a cool front that's approaching the area. We've got a strong area of low pressure up in Canada with the trailing front down into our area. And then upper level winds are racing through the area. So you need those upper level winds to be very strong. That causes the air at the surface to rise quickly.
Yep.
When air rises quickly, you get cloud development, and then you get the storm development on top of that. So all the ingredients with the frontal boundary, with very strong winds aloft, we call that a jet max.
Mm-hmm.
That's pushing through the area. And so all the ingredients are there. Mark my words, if we don't see sunshine this afternoon, and that's the big question mark, we're getting more indications that we really won't see much. We're lucky.
Yeah.
We're lucky. I mean, even with the damage that's already occurred up and around the Grand Forks area, this has the potential of being even worse this evening if we see the sunshine.
Okay.
If we don't see the sunshine, I'm not going to rule out strong to severe storms, but it won't be as widespread.
Okay, good.
All right, and if you have any storm damage reports to pass along, please give us a call. Dean also passes along your information to the National Weather Service, 701-293-9000. You can email studio at wdayradionow.com. And just like Lindsay, also message us on Facebook. You send along, if you've got pictures, videos too, we'd love to see that as well. All right, thanks, Dean.
You bet. No problem.
That rest your voice there for a little bit. It is 5:30, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Yeah, bumpy morning for a lot of folks.
Interesting, though, that we have this round of storms, another chance for some rain. And then, like Dean said, if we get sun and destabilize the atmosphere, maybe then we get a severe round tonight as well. But it's kind of we haven't had really many days like this where we can have multiple rounds, because we're watching the radar. We're seeing this storm front, you know, move east in that band of storms, etc. But it's interesting that we could see it redevelop a couple more times today for more rain and or wind and possibly hail this evening. So obviously, stay tuned to WDAY Radio all day to make sure you're up to date on the latest weather developments.
You bet. It is 5:30, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Again, if you have any storm damage reports, phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Question of the morning, what's your favorite kind of dip? What chip, cracker, or bread do you like to eat it with?
Whichever one's in front of me.
Anything? Pretty much everything?
No. I mean, if you go to a Mexican restaurant and you get the free chips and salsa before your meal gets
there. That sounds good.
Yeah, but the problem is you ever see those memes where they go, well, wait, one chip is one quarter of a tortilla? You've eaten. So when you start doing the math on how many tortillas you've eaten while you've been at the restaurant, you're like, holy cow.
But that's okay. And then you take your meal to go. So you've actually eaten a meal of chips at the restaurant and you still have a meal to go.
I always love it. Like a lot of times, it seems like the place we end up going to with all the burrito places around town, Poncheros, Qdoba, Chipotle. We usually end up at Qdoba. And I love it when you get chips and queso.
Queso, yeah.
I love queso dip. Spinach artichoke dip on the right day, that's really good. It kind of just depends, but usually chips and queso is usually my favorite.
Is there a bad dip? I'm trying to think. Some people don't like hummus. I do.
Hummus, I mean, I'd prefer one of the flavored ones and not just plain hummus.
Yeah, they're better. I like the spicy red pepper hummus.
My daughter does too. There's a couple different dips that usually you can get at Costco besides like the spinach artichoke dip and a queso dip. We have a chicken taco dip in the fridge. That one hasn't been quite as popular. There's been like a street corn type of dip.
I don't
that's
care
good.
For that, but some of my family members like
well,
that street
it's
corn
got,
one.
It's got kind of the street corn, elote flavor in it, but it's not just corn. So, you know, it's more
it's
of a
different.
Dip. Yeah, but I mean, there's a number of dips there. I mean, most of them, unless it has something I don't care for, like if it's somehow got some type of pickles in it, you know, some type of...
you're not a pickle lover, that makes sense.
What was the other one I was just thinking of? I don't remember if they've got any kind of Greek-style dip, you know, because you've got like...
Tzatziki?
Like tzatziki with some type of cucumbers and like some little bit of meat.
I mean, I like that, but yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
I do like this tzatziki sauce on my gyro.
You need to get over your cucumber issues.
The cucumber, I'm better with the cucumber than I am with the pickle. Yeah. Pickle just... Yeah.
Not your thing.
No.
What's your favorite kind of dip? What kind of chip, cracker, or bread do you like to eat it with? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Go to the phone lines. Find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning to you, Polly.
Good morning. Wild weather you guys got going.
Yeah, it's kind of settled down for the most part, pushed to the east of us. But, yep, it was an early morning wake-up call. Dino arriving early with his son Bentley in tow, and it kind of reminded me of my days of being a reporter, having to wake my three kids up, or two at the time, however many I had at the time, putting them in their snowsuits, bundle them up, and head on out to a fire or train derailment.
What about spud cellars? Do you guys have spud cellars there?
Spud
like
cellar?
A tornado shelter?
No. Where you keep potatoes underneath, like a
cellar?
A basement.
Yeah, some people have cellars.
I mean, most of them is just called a basement.
Basements. No, I think, are you talking like the one from The Wizard of Oz when you get into it on the outside of the house and there's like a door?
Well, I'm
sure some people have those. Many people have basements, but like mobile homes, manufactured homes, they don't have basements, and some people don't even in their houses they don't have.
Well,
they're just slab on grade or whatever.
Well, we do have electricity and indoor plumbing these days, so we have come a long ways in the last 10 years.
Just depends on how old your house
is. Using nuclear power? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're pretty modern around here, but it's, you know, not everybody has a basement. We've got a big outdoor festival with Wii Fest going on out near Detroit Lake, so a lot of people are camping and tenting, and so there's a concern for them as well.
Yeah, I'm laughing at Jace. I'm not laughing at what you're saying.
It's, I know, it's Jace.
It's pretty serious stuff.
All right, what's your favorite kind of dip, and what chip, cracker, or bread do you like to eat it with?
I like a small bowl of sourdough bread, and then I like to have clam chowder on the inside of it.
Mm, just dip it in the clam chowder. Yeah, the white one.
Yeah, the white one.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I like.
Mm, more of a soup, but that's okay. If you want to work it as a dip, we'll let you work it as a dip.
When it cools down just a little bit, it does. It works just like a dip.
There
you go. It's pretty good.
Yeah, excellent. Hey, Polly, you have yourself a nice weekend.
The best of the weather for you guys. The bad is behind you and the good is in front of you.
Exactly. Thanks, Polly. Appreciate it.
All right.
Anita also goes with spinach and fresh bread or wheat thins. Yeah,
wheat
thins are a really good cracker because they're sturdy.
Yeah, well, the spinach artichoke dip with the bread at certain times is really good. So
yeah, Crash also said spinach artichoke dip. He likes his with chips. Yeah, pita chips, that's another popular one.
Mm. I am kind of anti-pita chip.
They're okay. They're not like my first go-to, but if they're there and that's what somebody brought, I would eat them. But I don't typically buy them.
If you've
got
the right dip with them, then absolutely. But there's been times we've had, you know, bags of chips and we'll go to Costco and they've got a big bag of like pita-style chips. And my wife will want to get them and we get them and she's like, don't you want any of these? I'm like, no, they don't do it for me. Just like, I'm not really a plain potato chip person. If I have a plain potato chip, I want the French onion dip or the sour cream and chive chip dip, you know, something like that. Just because, you know, that's just only my thing. And the pita chips have a different texture because obviously they've fried, you know, pita bread. So
Scoops
it's just
chips are nice because you can
the tortilla
scoop
ones?
The dip. Yeah. Or the Frito scoops or the tortilla. Either or. They're like nice and sturdy and you can get a good hunk of dip with them.
I'm, for some reason, I'm not a huge fan of the corn chips, the Fritos. Like the
I love
ones.
Them, but they give me the worst heartburn. I try to avoid Fritos because it's like, they just
they've
give me
got
the
like
worst
honey
heartburn.
Barbecue or spicy barbecue corn chips. Those are good. But normally, a lot of times, just like when it comes to your tacos or burritos, I prefer flour tortillas over corn tortillas. And so a lot of times with the chips, I prefer the flour tortilla corn chips, you know,
I'm
tortilla
not picky.
Chips.
I eat whatever's there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
You are picky.
Pita chips, meh.
What's your favorite kind of dip and what kind of chips, crackers, or bread do you like to eat it with? Or if you have any storm damage reports to pass along, we will take them from you. 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. We've gotten at least one video and some photos from Lindsay up in Grand Forks. They had damage to their place. It looked like the wall or maybe part of the ceiling caved in there. Her and her husband were sleeping at the time, got woken up by that. We could see pictures, chunks of insulation sitting on the bed as well. So let us know if you have any damage or if you spot anything out there. 701-293-9000 or again, email studio at wdayradionow.com. 538, time for your national news and sports from ABC. It is 5:43, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki joining us back in studio. And as you promised, we've got Lindsay from Grand Forks on the line with us as well, Dean.
Yeah, Lindsay, how are you doing?
We're alive.
That's good. That is good. Boy, I saw your video on Facebook. You're up in Grand Forks, correct?
Yep.
Explain the damage that was done. And now, is that a house that you're in? Or, I mean, it looked like your bedroom wall, like, totally collapsed in.
Yeah, well, how big is our shop?
40 by 60.
We have a 40 by 60 shop, and that's completely gone.
Oof.
And it hit the side of our house, and our bedroom wall exploded in, and luckily we had just gotten out of bed.
Oh.
And it physically threw us out of the door.
Wow. Now, do you know, I mean, there was a tornado warning for your area. We didn't have any confirmation of a tornado on the ground. So did you actually see, well, if you were inside, you didn't see if it was a tornado.
We didn't.
Yeah. So it was either a tornado or straight line winds.
Right.
And we
felt like a tornado.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, we had reports that just came in from National Weather Service in Grand Forks of 91 mile an hour wind gusts in Grand Forks. So that would definitely do the damage. So you said there was damage to you have a building outside. Was that totally flattened, or what does that look like?
It's completely gone.
Wow. See, that sounds like more than straight line winds. Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely gone. It's all over our yard. We have all of our classic cars in there, and
oh,
they're all damaged.
Oh no!
Like everything is gone and damaged, and
but as long as you guys are okay, you guys made it through. Explain what it was like. What was it like when this was coming through? Have you ever been through anything like this before?
I've been through some pretty severe storms out here. I've been out here for, I think, since 2013.
Okay.
And I've been through some pretty severe storms, but this was a completely different beast.
Oh, man.
It hit really fast.
Right.
The rain started and the wind picked up, and it was just like a normal storm where we wake up and we pay attention.
Right.
And then, like, you could feel the house move. It felt different. Like, the air around us felt different, and then everything exploded, literally.
Oh, my God. Lindsay, I know we have seen the photos that you have sent to Dean here on Facebook. Can you or your husband describe for us what your house looks like? I know the bedroom, you had the wall that you mentioned, but can you guys kind of give us a picture of what it looks like, your whole house?
Just that side of the house is gone. The shop parts of the shop are laying on the side of it. I'm trying to upload a video of the damage to Facebook, but
do you have the police department or the sheriff's department at your place yet?
Actually, someone's pulling up right now.
Okay, good.
Well, Lindsay, as long as you and is that your husband in the background we're hearing?
Is my significant other.
Okay. Well, as long as you and your significant other are okay, you guys, you didn't receive any damage to yourself. I mean, you guys are okay, right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good.
I got a little carpet burn when I got thrown off the bedroom door. But
oh my gosh.
Now, question, do you guys have a weather radio in your house to warn you? I mean, these things blare. They could wake you from a mile away, it seems like. Do you have one of those weather radios in your home?
Just our cell phones, and that is what woke us up.
The cell phone did? Okay.
Well, just minutes before it started to go off, and
right. Well,
I think that's why we got out of bed.
Good thing. Right. Well, Lindsay, I'm glad you guys are okay. If you can upload that video, then we can pass that along to the National Weather Service. That helps with damage reports and whatnot. Or if you can email it to us, weather@flagfamily.com. I tried pulling it off your Facebook page, but I couldn't share it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, just message me that email. And I'll
will.
Email
okay.
It to you.
Good deal.
Wow.
Lindsay, I'm so glad you and your significant other are okay. And thank you so much for calling in.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. You bet.
How scary.
Oh, you just get out of bed.
It threw
her on the, she got rug burn. Mm-hmm. Oh. Imagine the story you're going to tell your kids with that one. And again, there was the area was under a tornado warning up around the Grand Forks area. There was nothing confirmed on the ground, but like I said earlier, when you get these bow lines, as intense as it was, you'll get these brief spin-up tornadoes. They don't last long, but it's almost like think of a finger coming out of the cloud and bam, just touching your property. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds and like. The way she explained it is, it exploded. It almost like something exploded. And that is indicative of one of these spin-up tornadoes. That doesn't sound like a straight-line wind. That sounds like one of these spin-up tornadoes because it'll just plop down, briefly, mm-hmm. and like she said, boom, feels like
sure
an explosion.
Storm damage assessment team from the National Weather Service likely will be at their property later today checking out if there's any signs of rotation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They'll be able to tell, but that does sound like a quick spin-up tornado that hit their area. And boy,
looks like some strong stuff up in the Greenbush, Lancaster area.
There is, yes. Non-tornadic, that's
okay,
good. And as this line moves east, it's through DL right now, or just about through DL into WeFest area. It is moving into a more unfavorable environment. So as this moves eastward into Minnesota, these storms are weakening. They're mm-hmm. still on the strong to severe side, with the wind being the main threat. But any tornadic threat is about gone for our friends in Minnesota, and this will continue to weaken. We're getting numerous reports, even through the FM area, of some minor wind damage, mm-hmm. but nothing too major. Cass County Electric reporting quite a few outages, power outages, mm-hmm. getting reports now. And again, these reports will continue to come in as the sun comes up. Steele County, in Findlay, some roof and siding damage. A large bin elevator was down, crushing a few cars. As I said earlier, 91 mile an hour wind gusts in Grand Forks. And, as Lindsay reported, their house basically, the shed or the barn where they store their, classic cars.
That's
crushed and a semi overturned. Where was that?
It was on I-29. South of Buxton. Trevor called in on that. Yeah.
So if you're traveling through the Buxton area and that semi turned over, I'm sure you're going to be delayed there.
I'm clicking on your radar screen on some of these thunderstorm wind gusts. Amarillo, 74 mile an hour winds. Logan Center had 67. That would be northwest of Northwood. Let's see here. What's this see on these Grand Forks ones? They got tree branches being reported down there, too. That's Amarillo ones, that biggest one I'm seeing, 74 mile an hour. Whoa, 91. We're south of Mackinac?
Wow.
Yeah. So
near Grand Forks Air Force Base.
Which makes that's one that, the 91 mile an hour wind gust. So, again, that could have been a brief spin-up tornado. But boy, what it sounded like the way Lindsay described it, that doesn't sound like straight line winds. But again, the National Weather Service will be out in that area, and they'll be able to kind of better tell if there was if it was caused by straight line or a brief spin up tornado.
I'm so glad to hear that she and her significant other are
No doubt.
Police department or sheriff's office was just arriving as we were talking. So we'll watch for updates on that.
Yeah.
Thanks for holding everybody's hand, Trevor. Appreciated your advice. And he's a trucker. He delayed his travels this morning based on what you were saying about the storm system going through.
Yeah.
So
and like I said, we're in the clear right now in the FM area. We will see additional development later this morning through lunchtime. Not expecting those to be severe. But then the wild card later this afternoon, do we see sunshine? If we see enough sunshine, we have a very good chance of severe storms between 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock tonight. And with those, the main threat would be large hail, it looks like. Maybe some damaging winds, but I think large hail being the main threat between 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock tonight. And again, a lot of this depends on if we see sunshine later this afternoon. So kind of just be weather aware and keep up to date on the forecast. And if you have any plans this evening from 5 to 10, if it's outdoors, you're probably not going to get those in. Mm-hmm. Just a heads up.
And just heard from Chris Larson of our news department. He's going to be heading over to Grand Forks and visiting with Lindsay and checking out the property there on storm damage as well.
Okay, good deal. Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
And thank you, Dino, for all your hard work here this morning. Question of the morning, what's your favorite kind of dip? And what crackers, chips, bread do you like to eat it with? That's our question of the morning, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Eleanor says there is a lower salt ripple chip that's very tasty, as well as the healthier Cape Cod potato chips. Walmart, you can buy them at. Costco has that Cape Cod, and I always see, when I see reels on Facebook, there's nutritionists and dietitian who are always kind of gravitating towards that Cape Cod. They say that's a, in terms of chips, not, we all know that chips aren't healthy, but there are healthier options out there. Whether it's lower salt, the oils that they're cooked in. Mm-hmm. I think that Cape Cod one in particular cooked in, I don't know if it's avocado oil or what it's cooked in. I don't remember.
It seemed, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. I think I've seen those bags of chips
they're good
in stores before. What was the study you had quoted yesterday about the French fries? Was that three times?
So three times a week.
They three times in a week. Okay.
According to the study of some 200,000 people over like a 10 or 20 year period, 20% chance of getting diabetes if you're eating French fries three times a week or more.
Yeah. Well, the same thing would apply to chips too, especially if you're going chips and
they're
dip.
They're deep fried, right?
Yeah.
They're
fried. So if you're having chips and dip like every day or, you know, every other day, basically is what these people were having the French fries.
But if it's just during the summer during lake season.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what some
you know,
people are saying.
Once in a while. I mean, I explained the whole thing to my wife as well, and she agreed with me. It's like, look, if you're eating French fries three times a week, you're probably also eating some other unhealthy things
Absolutely.
As well. So
too much salt, too much fat.
I don't think it's just the French fries, and obviously just like that, the French fries, the chips. I mean, if you're having chips, you know, once a week with some dip or whatever during the summertime, like you said, I mean, people aren't normally doing it. Usually, like in my household, especially with four people in the house, if you get some good queso dip and you've got some tortilla chips to dip in there, it's not going to last very long. You might get a serving or maybe two. Other than that, it's going to be gone before you know it, especially my youngest. All of a sudden, some of the dips end up downstairs in the mini fridge. You're like, what are they doing down here?
Chips and dip go fast. Yeah. Barb likes the good old plain old chips with onion dip.
Yeah.
Trevor likes the pita chips with tzatziki dip. Bonnie, queso and tortilla.
Tzatziki dip might be better with a little cut up pieces of bread or something.
Anyway. Yeah, that would be good with bread too. Carrie says chips, salsa and queso, a staple.
Mm.
Anita goes for the spinach, fresh bread.
Has anybody out there, though, tried? I've seen them at Costco. Because there was a flavor I wanted to try, but the chips that are somehow made out of chicken and a few other ingredients, so that way they're high in protein and low in carbs or whatever.
Just take the fun out of everything.
I know, but I'm curious to try
chicken chips. Who wants chicken chips?
I don't know. It depends on how they taste.
Chips. I haven't seen those mentioned for probably, they were like kind of a viral thing maybe 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago.
I'm sure those were real big, you know, in the whole keto eating era and stuff like that.
Sure.
Not that people stopped doing keto, it's just, it's not quite as much
chips.
Of a talker.
Janet's Mexican 7-layer dip with tortilla chips. Dave in Grand Rapids, good morning. White queso with nacho cheese Doritos or Frito corn scoops. Those are good. Frito-Lay spinach artichoke dip. In jars is good, he says. I've never tried that. Have you tried the jarred stuff? I remember as a kid,
what is the brand? I think, I want to say it's like,
Tostitos.
Is it Tostitos?
Yeah, Tostitos.
They have, it's not called nacho cheese. It's like,
I've had that. I know
a
what
spicy
you're
queso
about.
Or something.
Yeah.
It's the yellow one. Then they have got a white queso one. That brand usually that brand is usually my favorite. There are cheaper versions of like store bought ones where they've got the yellow or the white like queso in a jar, and it's okay. But I mean, there's some that are better than others. Like if you get the Frito Lay kind in the little can where you got to pull the little top off, that's not quite
like
as.
If you're camping or at the lake, it's convenient.
Yeah,
then you
it's
just
not.
Eat it and throw
it's
it.
Not quite as good because it's just like a spicy cheese. There's no little chunks of peppers and stuff in there, so. I mean, some queso is better than others, to say the least.
Oh, absolutely. And certain spots in town have better queso.
Usually the burrito places that you get your burrito custom made while you're, you know, in line, those places usually got really good queso.
That is
true. Then you watch the Food Network on how to make really good queso, and it's like you make a roux, and then
that's
some,
too much work.
You know, half and half or whatever, and then you start adding in your different kinds of cheeses, and the cheese, you know, dip turns out really good, but... That's a process I don't have time for.
Yeah, I'm not making queso. So I'm going to buy it. Too much work. 5:58, we're going to be checking in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Then we'll be heading into the WDAY Radio News Center. 6 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 6:02, most of the stormy weather has settled down for now. It's off to the east of us, but we do have a couple more bands that will be rolling through yet today. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with more on our forecast.
Yeah, we've got numerous reports of damage now that the sun is, it's not up yet, but as daylight breaks, I just got a message from one of my Facebook friends, Jim, reported tree damage, and I've left my notes in the... in my office to where exactly Jim was, but we'll get that to you on next weather hit. But numerous tree damage, as Lindsay reported earlier from up in Grand Forks, extreme damage to their barn, which was storing their classic cars and their house where their bedroom window basically collapsed in on them. Luckily, both Lindsay and her significant other are okay, but a lot of power outages. All this now pressing east of Lakes Country now. It is in a slight weakening phase. We still have some possibility of some well, we'll say strong winds from Roseau to east of Detroit Lakes as this continues to press to the east. So, again, the worst of it is through the FM area. Now we'll see a break. We'll still see scattered showers and thundershowers. We'll see another redevelopment of showers and thunderstorms later this morning. Those are not expected to be severe. Then we'll see a break from about noon to 4, noon to 5. And it's during that time period that is going to be crucial. Do we see sunshine? If we see sunshine, we've got a lot of ingredients coming together for another round of severe weather between 5 and 10 o'clock tonight. We'll keep a close eye on that. And the main threat tonight would be hail and possible damaging winds. But I think hail more of a threat later on to, this evening if we see enough sunshine. We'll have to wait and see on that.
And when you say hail, like any idea, like a very large hail?
We could see up to 2-inch diameter hail. So, yes, that would be and then as we head into the weekend, much calmer. Mm-hmm. Take a deep breath.
Which, yes.
Much calmer weather.
We
a little breezy.
Appreciate that.
A little breezy with temperatures around 80 both Saturday and Sunday. A good way to end WeFest, but
rocky start.
Boy, those storms that went through Detroit Lakes, the WeFest area this morning, hopefully not a lot of damage in those areas. But again, Grand Forks area seemed to get, so far from what we've seen, they've had the worst of it with 91 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
And from Jamestown through Valley City, those areas between 60 and 80 mile an hour winds.
Nice. Yeah. Those are some strong, damaging winds, a lot of tree branches and limbs down throughout the region, too, I suppose.
I've never said I hope we don't see any sunshine today, but I hope we don't see any sunshine today.
We do not want the sun.
No, no. That would destabilize the atmosphere even more for any evening storms.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
6:05 Flatland Music Flashbacks going to be coming your way right around 6:56 this morning. We'll be showcasing this artist who had a hit song about a bikini. Who would have thunk? But it definitely was a hit song. Flatland Music Flashback coming up 6:56 this morning, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. And again, if you have any storm damage, you want to pass along the information to us. Our phone lines are always open, 701-293-9000, or you can email us. You can attach pictures, too, if you would like. Studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. 6:11, time to check out your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
NFL football, well, if you take out the Hall of Fame game returned last night. And
does the Hall of Fame game even count if no one watches it?
Well, I think it kind of has to because it is football, but
it's football
AFC
of sorts.
Football.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just as much football as probably the spring leagues are, so there's that.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, the Ravens to defeat the Colts after Anthony Richardson hurt his finger the first drive of the game.
Just well, he's
going
out
through
the
a walkthrough. He dislocated his finger, I believe
they
said.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah. And so I'm sure we won't see him till week 6. We'll see.
Injury pro.
Baltimore defeats Indianapolis 24-16. Philly over Cincinnati 34-27. And the game that matters for everybody locally, the Las Vegas Raiders tied with the Seattle Seahawks, but Cam Miller did go 6 of 7 for 76 yards and a touchdown. He also had one carry for 4 yards. So a good overall opening showing for him. Aiden O'Connell ended up with the majority. He had over a full half of football, thrown it 30 times. Geno Smith had one drive total where he went 1
Tommy
for 3.
Tommy Mellott got into the game, too. He had one catch for, what was it, negative 2? Or minus 1.
Minus 2.
So they probably tried some type of wide receiver screen or something with him, and it didn't
work. Yeah, and somebody forgot to block, I'm sure.
Well, I mean,
none of that ever happens.
Because here's the thing. All of the hype and all of the positivity that every single team has going into their first preseason game, which we'll see the Vikings go through this tomorrow, there's going to be a play or a player that everybody's hyped about having a big year. And on their first play of the preseason or second play, they'll have a loss on the play on a run, or they'll have a interception or something. Then the sky will be falling for said player. So people need to remember these are preseason games, no game planning, basic gameplay. Just chill out a little bit.
Yeah, it's just about making sure you understand a basic overall conception of the system.
For rookies, getting used to the speed of the game.
Exactly. The Vikings will have their first preseason game 3 o'clock on Saturday on NFL Network at US Bank Stadium. They take on the Houston Texans. PGA Tour St. Jude Championship. Akshay Bhatia is in the lead at 8 under par, as Tommy Fleetwood in second at 7 under, and then three-way tie for third at 6 under par. Golfers begin teeing off in about an hour or so. Tom Hoagie tied for 65th at 3 over par, and then his second round will tee off at 11 a.m. Minnesota Lynx take on the Washington Mystics tonight. Tip off at 6:30 at the Target Center. Lone home matchup in the midst of about a half a dozen road games in the front and the back end of this, as we have been seeing the last few days. Lynx enter with the WNBA best record of 25-5. Twins return to the Diamond tonight when they take on Kansas City. The Royals at Target Field. It'll be a 7:10 first pitch. Joe Ryan on the mound for Minnesota. Currently, the Twins 2.5 games back of third place Kansas City. The Twins are 54-60 on the year. Kansas City is 57-58.
We're coming!
Hey, they're playing better than they did with all the big leaguers. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks.
Let's go Saints.
Yeah, basically. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks take down the Lincoln Salt Dogs 7-2 on Thursday night to complete the series sweep. Jake Dykhoff would strike out 7 batters over 6 in the third innings, only give up 1 unearned run, and he got the victory. You would have 4 different Redhawks driving in runs, including Dylan Thomas and Jose Sirmo, who each hit a home run and drove in 2 runs apiece. Alec Oland edited 2 RBI, and then Aiden Byron would end up with an RBI as well. Redhawks off to Sioux City to take on the Explorers. First pitch tonight at 7:05. And the Minnesota Timberwolves did announce their preseason schedule last night.
Right, yeah.
So they're going to open up exhibition play against the Nuggets in San Diego on October 4th.
Mm. And then, home of the Clippers.
They'll host games against the Indiana Pacers. And
I think they host one in Iowa down in Des Moines. I think that
the
last,
Lions. I'm going to say I don't know how to pronounce that.
It's one of the Chinese.
Yeah, Chinese
basketball association teams.
Yeah, I'm not even going to risk it. Six-game slate.
Mean we don't get an FC Barcelona?
It's
something we can all pronounce.
Gangzhou Lung Lions? Something like that? I don't know. They'll end their six-game preseason October 17th against the Philadelphia 76ers. I can't pronounce them.
We need to have a show, Bonnie, where all we have is James try and pronounce Chinese and Japanese names and teams.
It would be awful. I've accepted the fact that it's not in my favor.
He has had to do that with a few golfers over the years, and it still cracks me up to this day.
Google it sometimes, how do you pronounce whatever it is. And many times you'll get it right, but sometimes even the pronunciation keys are wrong on it.
Yeah, well, and thing with like those is a lot of them, you know, if they're not at the top of the leaderboard regularly, so you don't hear them on Sundays, you're kind of just, you know, by the seat of your pants. Like, I can get Tom Hoagie, no problem. But, you know, because we see his name all the time.
I've mispronounced his name over the years as well.
I'm sure. You probably forget to add the Hoagie.
Well, because it's like golf. I mean, probably around town, he's probably just known as Tom Hoag, but, you know, you never know.
That's all I got for you guys.
I see we have an arrest. In connection with the sex toys that keep getting thrown on the court during WNBA games.
We've had, what, 4 now?
4 incidents. The latest one, a guy and his 9-year-old niece were hit at a game Tuesday.
Hit at a game?
With the sex toy that got thrown. Hit, yes.
He didn't make it all the way. It bounced off of them and then hit the edge of the court.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the last one? It would ricochet onto the court?
Basically.
Wow.
A Phoenix Mercury game, Connecticut Sun game, and both that guy who was hit with his niece and the WNBA wanted to file charges. So an 18-year-old from Arizona arrested.
Oh, that one. I always thought you were talking about the one from last night, Bonnie. I'm sorry.
No. Initially, he was facing a felony.
Was it really?
Yeah, they brought it before a judge. Judge said it didn't meet the qualifications.
What were they
to make
trying
it a
to trying to charge him with an assault?
A sex thing. Initially booked on suspicion of disorderly conduct, assault, and public display of explicit sexual material. But the felony charge, the last one there, they didn't do that. So he's going to face. I mean, if he would have been hit with a. Been convicted of a felony, not cool. 18 years old and you get a felony on your record. But he said he had seen, apparently this is making the rounds on TikTok, and that's where he had seen it and thought it would be funny. Pulled it out of his sweater. He threw it. It hit that guy on the back of his head and the niece and then fell on the ground next to them.
Should make him go on camera and tell everybody where he got it at.
He bought it, he said.
Obviously.
He bought it that day. And then he took off running, too, but I guess somebody saw him.
He threw it at the game, and then he took off running.
Yep.
And well, that'll draw even more attention to yourself.
A witness tackled him, held him on the ground until police arrived. It's got to stop. I mean, it's gotten ridiculous. You know, maybe the first time, maybe it was funny. People might have found it funny, but it keeps going on. And somebody, you can get hit in the eye with that. Somebody could get hurt. So hopefully this sends a message with this 18-year-old in custody here facing charges. And it could have been a whole lot worse. 618, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Again, we've got some storm damage up in Grand Forks. We had chatted with Lindsay earlier. She and her significant other got wakened up by the storm, and there were wind gusts right near Grand Forks Air Force Base of 91 miles an hour. Storm hit their place, blew their bedroom wall off, basically. We've gotten pictures from her. There's insulation right there on the bed and lots of debris strewn about. Plus, they had another building, an outbuilding that they had classic cars that were stored in. Mm. She says that was demolished in the storm as well. Our Chris Larson from our WDAY Radio News Center is headed that way to get some pictures and video of the damage and to talk to Lindsay and her significant other. Very scary night. Mm-hmm. They weren't hurt other than she said she was tossed and got a little rug burn. They were awakened by their cell phones. Warning came through on their cell phones. And when we were talking to her on the air maybe, I don't know, 40 minutes ago or so, the police department was just arriving on the scene. And the National Weather Service likely will be out with their surveillance teams anytime you've got potential for whatever damaging winds that might be tornadic. They have a survey crew that goes to the scene, and that'll be easy for them. It's right there in Grand Forks to see if it was actually a tornado or some other type of winds that caused the damage there to their property. But Dean says it kind of sounds like it potentially was a tornado, but we'll find out more on that in the next day.
It was interesting how they described how the home, et cetera, just kind of exploded. So, and that's really scary because, I mean, obviously, even if you're getting a warning that there's a storm coming, for something like that to happen to your home, it's just, you know, just surprising, especially when they get thrown out of bed like they did. Yeah. So,
and we did see some northwest of Larimore, there was like 67-mile-an-hour gusts, but the strongest ones we saw was 91 up near Grand Forks Air Force Base. Some tree damage, some limbs and branches down, but if you have any damage to report, certainly give us a call so we can pass it along to the National Weather Service Office, 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Super cool story I saw yesterday that came in my feed. How many of us, raise your hand if you need cheaters. James doesn't, but you get to that certain age in your life and you can't see the fine print anymore and you need cheaters, right?
Well, that's because I've been resisting getting bifocals, so...
Yeah. Cool story out, though, on some, research that has been done and a new product that's going to be coming to the market. And we will talk about that straight ahead. 623, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki assembling storm damage reports from those strong storms that rolled through. And Dean rolled into work early this morning, kind of surprised me. It's like, oh, yeah, we've got some weather rocking and rolling. Worst damage we've heard so far is one home up in Grand Forks, where a wall was blown out of the home and their outbuilding, which they had classic cars stored in, also blown apart in that system. And it looks like winds at the time 91 miles an hour up there in Grand Forks. If you do have storm damage, you can give us a call, 701-293-9000. Email studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Want to let you guys know about an event coming up in our studio parking lot next Wednesday, August 13th. If you are a teacher or school staff member, you are invited. Lunch on us. We want to celebrate and honor our local teachers and school staff members. So join us right here at our studios. We're next to Thunder Road, 2852 Thunder Road South, next Wednesday from 11 to 2.
We're going to have a wide variety of food trucks providing free lunch, bouncy houses for the kids, games, prizes, and much more. It's our way of saying thanks for what you do. We want to say thank you to our sponsors, Capstone Classical Academy, Meats by John and Wayne, UND Alumni Foundation, Welton's Tire Service, and Glass Doctor Auto.
All right. And I got super excited when I saw this story yesterday because, like a lot of you, the older you get, most of us need cheaters for seeing up close. FDA has approved first of its kind prescription treatment that's going to be released later this year.
Mm-hmm.
It allows people to ditch their bifocals or cheaters, or at least rely on them far less often.
How would that even work? Because I thought the reason, like, I have to wear contacts to begin with is that the shape of my cornea or whatever it is in your eye is, mm-hmm. it's not shaped like it should be. And that's why you need to have eyeglasses to, or, you know, glasses to see. A lot of people, you know, you've got that. I don't know how exactly it works, but like my numbers on my contacts are in the negative side. So I can't see at a distance. And other people's are going to be a plus number because they can't see up close, right?
So it's not going to help with your distance, but mm-hmm. for up close. This will be an eye drop for those that have trouble seeing things close or the fine print.
See, I thought I heard something about that in the works on some other place about eye drops. So this is eye drops, not a pill, though, right?
Yes, it's called Vizz, V-I-Z-Z.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I guess there's been some other eye drops in recent years, but they say this Vizz that's going to be available later this year appears to avoid annoying side effects and rare medical complications.
So my question would be, is this for people that only need cheaters and they don't need regular prescription, or maybe you can wear glasses and use these? So like if you need bifocals but you don't want to use bifocals, you can take the drops and then wear your glasses. But I mean, can people that have contact lenses use them? Or I suppose there's not as much detail as I'm asking questions.
Probably. I'm not an expert. But what it's going to do is fix the issue for the close stuff. Whether or not you can use it if you use contacts, I'm not sure.
I would assume that you can't wear contacts because to me it seems like it would somehow put some type of, you know, the drops are going to kind of stay on your eyeball and they're going to kind of maybe make a temporary lens for your eyeball, you know, so you can see a bit better. I don't know.
They've studied 30,000 patients over many, many years here, and no issues being reported. Although it's the only thing I see is like for side effects is was it droopy eyes? You and I already have that, so maybe we wouldn't qualify for these.
I don't think so, because I mean,
eyebrow heaviness is what they say. Some users sometimes report side effects, including brow heaviness.
People just assume my eyes are always closed then, even more so than they already
I've
are.
Got the same problem, but I don't know. I would like to try these. I think this would be exciting.
But what are the side effects?
It doesn't really have any. It said this new Vizz eye drop appears to avoid annoying side effects and rare medical complications like previous drops that have been tested and have been out. And these Vizz eye drops are expected to be widely available through prescription by the end of this year, fourth quarter of 2025. I would try them. I would.
Side effects may include headaches, upset stomach, diarrhea.
My eyes
loss
are,
of hearing.
No, they don't mention any of that. My eyes are annoying because I always forever, from the time I was 18 till I was, I don't know, probably 50, mid-50s, I needed glasses for distance. And all of a sudden,
you're only in your 40s.
I know. A few years ago, my eyes started flipping, and now I don't need them for distance anymore. I just need them up close. And I
How is that even possible? What is wrong with
your
eyeballs?
Doctor. He said it's not that unusual.
No, I think it's very unusual.
I thought
unusual.
It was weird. Like what? Like my... Are you long distance vision is fine now, but
yeah,
I
that doesn't make any sense.
It's weird.
So your glasses that you normally wear, are they?
These are just cheaters.
So you don't need a prescription. You don't wear contacts.
There's a slight tweak in them, but I don't need them. I don't need them for driving or anything. Like I can see perfectly fine, except up close.
You're so cool.
No, yeah. Just give yourself another 2 years. Maybe
2 years. I can't wait that long. You know how long I've been wearing these? I think technically I'm legally blind without my contacts.
I have astigmatism. Do you have one of those?
I've got two astigmatisms.
Do you? Probably
no.
Don't. You're just trying to one-up me on that. But
no,
anyway.
I do have a slight astigmatism in one of my eyes, I believe. So.
But if these drops work, I wouldn't have to wear my glasses.
No, I think for you, I think you're more in line with
it. I'm the ideal candidate.
Probably.
Go ahead and say it.
Yeah, me not so much because my eyes are bad enough that I need to have, you know, contacts for distance. And granted, I keep putting off having the bifocals, especially the bifocal contacts. I don't know how in the heck that would work. And my eye doctor has also said, well, you can have one eye contact lens set for distance, the other one for up close. And
my sister-in-law does that. It's a weird thing.
It's like your brain will get used to it. And I'm like, I don't know if I like that idea. Because then it's like, well, then you got to like close one eye to see across the football field and the other one to see your computer screen in front of you. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that.
But I bet if you switch to glasses instead of contacts, not that you want to. No. If you switch to glasses instead, you could probably use these drops, fix your, close-up problem, and you could still use the glasses for distance.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. I mean, and so, like I said...
Ask your eye doctor later this year. They're supposed to be coming up.
I don't want to do it.
I'm not going back to the eye doctor. I just got new glasses 2 months ago, so I'm waiting until next year.
I'm waiting until December. I mean, I can go once a year, and then I get a free pair of glasses.
Yeah.
Based
free,
on them.
Free glasses?
Well, I'm paying for them through insurance. I pay enough in eye insurance to get a free pair of glasses.
That's pretty nice. Mine were not free, so I'm going to wait until next.
That's why you wear them. That's why you wear them all the time, and you keep doing this thing. You keep pointing at, acting like you're just like rubbing your eye, but you know what you're doing. Look at my new glasses, Jace. Look at them. Would you look at them?
Whatever.
Look at them.
I didn't really like them when I tried them on. The lady helping me, she's like, "Oh, those look really good." And you're like, "I don't think so." And then two other workers are like, "No, Bonnie, those look good."
And then she comes in this end of the first day wearing them. She's like, "Do you like my glasses?"
They're fine. I don't love them.
They're fine. I mean, that bad?
No, they're fine.
That's bad.
I really like the last ones I had, but I was.
Well, you could probably still wear them.
I can, and I do.
Good for you.
Because when I have
you're an independent woman, hear you roar.
When I have my I have my headphones on, these ones kind of dig into the back of my head because they're a little tight. So I do actually exchange them with my old ones, which are totally fine.
I think it's just you need to take your glasses off every once in a while because when I wear my glasses when we're broadcasting games and stuff, that hurts on the
dig
side
on the
of my
back
head.
Yep. Here, yeah. 6:31. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has our forecast with a couple more bands of storms coming in later on today. That's straight ahead. 6:34. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with your forecast. And it was quite a bumpy night across parts of our region.
Man, no kidding. Early start to the day for many meteorologists around the area. Thankfully, no injuries. Now, we've had numerous reports of damage, tree damage out around the Castleton area, but some bigger damage up around Grand Forks where they had 91-mile-an-hour winds. Lindsay earlier called in with severe damage to their home. And where they store their classic cars, unfortunately, but thankfully they weren't. Material items can be replaced, but thankfully no injuries. And to look at the video that she sent us about showing just their bedroom wall basically collapsed in, and she said she had rug burn when they were thrown out of bed.
Scary. They sounded like they were handling it well. Considering.
Boy, yeah, no doubt. So. Today looks to be quieter. In fact, no severe warnings in effect right now. We are looking at, quieter weather. So that's good. At least temporarily. Now, we'll see a few redevelopment of the storms here for the rest of the morning through about 10 o'clock. They're not expected to be severe. It wouldn't surprise me if one or two end up being severe, but the majority of those should not be severe and nothing widespread. Then, between noon and 5, that's what we're watching. Not for severe weather, but we're watching to see if we see any clearing of the skies. If we see any breaks in the clouds allowing for sunshine, that's going to really destabilize the atmosphere. And what that means is between 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock this evening, a better chance for severe weather with hail and high winds being the main threat. I think we have a much better hail chance with those storms coming in this evening. Now, again, a lot of that is conditional on how much sunshine we receive. The more sunshine we receive, the stronger those storms are going to be. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that. We'll top out today in the low 80s and winds generally out of the south-southeast about 10 to 20, switching to the northwest late. Now, those storms move east tonight and will drop down into the low 60s. And the weekend looks good. It looks a little breezy on Saturday and Sunday with partly cloudy skies and highs both days. It looks like between about 80 and 82. So a nice way to end WeFest. That's good news there. Now, next week, it looks like we'll have some pretty quiet weather most of next week. Slight chance of storms Tuesday and then again towards Thursday, but they look pretty widely isolated with temperatures next week in the 80s. Mm. So pretty seasonal weather. We'll dry things out. We need to dry things out because there's more rain coming in not only later this morning, but as we head into the evening hours as well. Mm-hmm. And again, our ground is saturated. We've had, especially in and around the FM area out towards Castleton, we've had just enough rain. And next week we'll start to quiet things down a little bit.
Did you get any reports out of Jamestown this morning? I saw WDAY television.
I saw some wind reports. Yeah.
Well, they had some type of structure collapse at 8th Avenue, 14th Street Southeast in Jamestown. They're telling the public to stay out of that area. And then they also said there's debris in the construction zone, I suppose, cones or whatever they have there blown over.
I'm sure.
So roared through Jamestown, too.
Yeah. It basically raked across the whole state from Tioga through Jamestown here in the valley and now weakening into Lakes Country. So this was a statewide just line of storms and severe at that. So you don't see that too often where it goes from the west to the east without weakening. But that's what we had last night into early this morning.
All right. And we've been mentioning, too, power outages here and there throughout the region here locally in the valley. I see Chris Larson just sent something out from Findlay, North Dakota. It looks like the southern part of Findlay, North Dakota. They've got an issue, their power being out there, too.
Yeah, and the overturned semi right around the Buxton
area. Buxton area on 29, yep.
So, yeah, just leave a little extra time if you're going out and about this morning. Once the sun comes up, we're going to get a better picture. Hey, there's trees down here. There's trees down there. So you might want to leave a little extra time on your commute this morning.
All right. Thanks, Dino.
You bet.
6:38 Flatland Music Flashback is going to be coming your way around 6:56 this morning. Brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this band back in 1996. One of their fans threw his fake leg on stage. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback coming up about 6:56. 6:38, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:43, Big Game James McCarty's here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Cam Miller completing six of his seven passes in his NFL debut in preseason week one for the Raiders against the Seahawks last night. 76 yards and a touchdown. He also had one carry for 4 yards and that 23 all tie in that preseason opener. The PGA Tour has leader at 8 under par. You have a three-way tie for third at 6 under, and Tommy Fleetwood in second at 7 under par. Golfers begin teeing off in about a half hour that second round here this morning. Tom Hoagie tied for 65th at 3 over par. He will tee off his second round at 11 a.m. Minnesota Lynx will be hosting the Washington Mystics at the Target Center this evening. 6:30 is tip-off. The Lynx are the best record in the league at 25-5. On the diamond last night, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks took down the Lincoln Salt Dogs 7-2 on the back of a really solid 6 1/3 inning performance from Jake Dykoff, who struck out 7 batters, only gave up 1 unearned run, and he earned the victory. The Redhawks would have 4 different players drive in runs, including Dylan Thomas and Jose Sermo, who each drove in a pair along with a home run, and then Alec Olin drove in 2 runs as well. Redhawks off to Sioux City to begin a series with the Explorers. First pitch tonight for that series opener at 7:05. After an off day yesterday, the Twins returned back to Target Field for a weekend series against a division rival in the Kansas City Royals. First pitch at 7:10, Joe Ryan scheduled to be on the mound for Minnesota, Noah Cameron countering for KC. Twins in fourth place in the AL Central with a record of 54-60, while the Royals are in third place at 57-58 on the season. And as well, on Saturday afternoon, Vikings football returns. Preseason game number one. They host the Houston Texans. It'll be a 3 p.m. kickoff on NFL Network. That game will be at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Pebble Lake Golf Club has been voted one of the top 25 public courses in the state of Minnesota. Find out why when you book a tee time online at playpebblelake.com.
6:45, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki telling us there's another band of storms that will be redeveloping across our region between say 9 o'clock through the 1 o'clock hour this afternoon, and more severe storms potentially tonight between 5 and 10 p.m. And biggest concern with that would be hail being the main threat with the later in the evening type storm.
That's why when I was getting ready this morning, I actually texted you and said, did Dean say anything about hail this morning?
Yeah, what would you have done? Because you have a new vehicle. Would you?
I would have taken the old vehicle.
Oh, you still have an old one. Okay, mm-hmm. I didn't realize you still had your old one.
Yes, it's in my driveway.
That's good. Yeah, you don't want hail damage.
No, I mean, if there is hail damage, the only thing I will say is that if there's enough hail damage, maybe I can get some new siding on the house and a new roof.
I know. I've already heard people mentioning, like, well, I'll bring on the hail. I could use a new roof.
I mean, the worst part is that the siding that we have on our house was, and I didn't witness the entire thing, but it was replaced because it faded out really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
and I don't remember what company it is, and I won't throw them under the bus anyway, but they replaced it. And based on our newer neighborhood and the fact there's not a ton of trees and that sun that you catch when the sun is setting every day here in North Dakota, mm-hmm. it faded out again. So needless to say, the siding on our house is not really the original color. It's also vinyl. I maybe would be more in line to like the aluminum siding, et cetera, but we don't have that. So if we get some significant hail damage, I mean, I might be all in favor of residing the house all finally. Right.
Our partners over at Valley News Live reporting mm-hmm. a grain elevator on fire in Uh-oh. Shelley, Minnesota. That's up in Norman County. I don't know if this would be storm related, but there were severe storms rolling through Norman County at about that time. Stay tuned to WDAY Radio, and Valley News Live will continue to update you on the latest information.
Whereabouts is that?
That'd be north
of here?
Say north of Moorhead, Norman County, Clay okay. County, Norman okay. County. So you go up there, Shelley, Minnesota.
Okay.
All right, Flatland Music Flashback's going to be coming your way around 6:56. It's 6:48 right now. We're going to be heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this day in 1981, MTV broadcast its first stereo concert with this band. Find out who it was and where that concert was coming up next on Flatland Music Flashback.
Time for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar Music Store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
I didn't realize this guy was this young, but in 1960, 16-year-old Brian Hyland went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. You know, he also had a number of other hit songs over the years.
Yeah, both as a bubblegum artist and as a country artist, he continues to tour internationally.
81 years old, that's how old he is now.
Brian Hyland.
Yeah, I had to do the math.
Good job on the math.
Thank you. 1981, MTV broadcast its first stereo concert with REO Speedwagon. They performed
sense.
In Denver, Colorado, having just released the album High Infidelity and the hit singles.
You bet. Hit singles on there. Keep on Loving You. Take It on the Run and Don't Let Him Go.
In 1987, the band, scored their second U.S. number one single from their Joshua Tree album with I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For.
Song received two nominations for the 30th Grammy Awards in 1988 for Record of the Year and Song of the Year.
This might have been in the touring area when they were not wearing makeup, Bonnie.
Okay.
Because I saw Kiss in Sioux City in probably around this time, 96, 97-ish. Kiss appeared at Riverfront Coliseum in Cincinnati, Ohio on their 192-date live world tour.
Makeup or not, a fan wanted to show appreciation to them, I guess.
I guess. I don't know.
Fan threw his fake leg on stage, which all the members signed. They gave it back to him, too, though.
I wonder if he threw it and was like, here, sign this. And then he tipped over because he was unbalanced. In 2017, American singer, guitarist, songwriter, television host, and actor Glenn Campbell died at the age of 81 of Alzheimer's disease. Campbell released more than 70 studio albums and sold 45 million records worldwide.
So many great hit songs. Wichita Lineman, Galveston, Rhinestone Cowboy. His guitar playing can be heard on Strangers in the Night by Frank Sinatra. You've Lost That Love and Feeling by the Righteous Brothers. And I'm a Believer by the Monkees.
This can't be right. Having a birthday today, the one and only Ricky Rocket. He was a drummer for Poison. He's 64. Where's the time gone?
When
they first came out.
Not getting any younger.
No, I know that. They scored the 1988 U.S. number one single, Every Rose Has Its Thorn, and have sold over 45 million records worldwide. I know Bret Michaels is still touring these days. I have my cousin's wife is a huge fan of Bret Michaels.
There you go. Hey, if you're having a birthday today, then happy birthday to you, too. We talked about Valley News Live, our news partners over there, mentioning there's an elevator fire. Shelley, Minnesota, north of Moorhead. That'd be up in Norman County. There were storms that rolled through about that time. Whether it's lightning or storm-related, we don't yet know. But I also saw reports of Highway 75 blocked in that area, which would make sense. The elevator right off of Highway 75, and also maybe some homes in that area being evacuated. Our news team working on that as well. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 7:01. 7:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on our forecast. Still looking pretty dark out there.
Yeah, it is. But as you look to the west, there's a few breaks in the clouds. But yeah, looking east, those storms that are moving through Lakes Country right now, non-severe. They are in a weakening phase, so no more severe weather expected for this morning. Now, there are additional storms redeveloping between, let's say, Castleton and Grand Forks. Those are non-severe and expected to stay that way. I wouldn't be too surprised if maybe one or two of those went strong to severe. We'll keep a close eye on those.
Okay.
But between noon and 5, we should see a break in the action, and that is crucial to what happens after 5 o'clock, because if we see enough sunshine, we'll destabilize this atmosphere, and the strong to severe storms could become more severe, if you want to put it that way, as we head into the evening hours. Right now, that looks to be right along and through the FM area and into Lakes Country. They'll be quick movers, but it looks like the main threat with those would be hail, possibly some damaging winds as we head into the evening hours. It looks like this will affect WeFest tonight. Between about 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock, unfortunately. For us, though, we are looking for, again, a break in the action between noon and 5, and then more storms redevelop, and some of those will be severe, it looks like. Highs today in the lower 80s, about 83, with south-southeast winds at 10 to 20, switching to the northwest late. Then tonight, the storms move east. It'll be a quiet night with lows around 60 and west winds at 10 to 20. Right now, the weekend looks good. A little breezy, but dry and less humid, with highs both days right around 81. So not a bad looking forecast after we get through today. Again, if you're just joining us, we had 60 to 70 mile an hour winds out around Jamestown. We had 91 mile an hour winds in Grand Forks, producing quite a bit of damage to a few areas up there. Our peak winds here in the FM area were about 35. We didn't pick up a whole lot of rain here in the FM area, only about a quarter inch so far here at the station. And, but many areas, Castleton up through Grand Forks, those areas picked up some areas up to an inch of rain, if not a little bit more. So we lucked out on the rainfall. We don't need a lot because it's been so saturated recently. But again,
We've got patio furniture and chairs even tossed about outside our studios behind us.
Well, look at that. We can see what's out there. But yeah, our peak wind gusts at the airport were about 35. That was it. I was surprised to see that. I thought it would be a little bit higher than that.
It felt like this morning, because with that front really came through West Fargo at about a quarter after 4 or so. And it really felt like the wind speeds were more than 35 miles an hour, because it was really hitting the patio furniture.
We've got a light damage behind us. It looks like the refrigerator door got ripped off out there, too. So,
okay, so wind's here at the studio.
A little stronger.
I'll check our weather station.
I think I saw one report of 53 miles an hour when I clicked on your thingy.
I mean, if we've got patio furniture that's tossed.
And a door torn off the refrigerator.
I don't think that's a door to the refrigerator. I think that's that little. It covers up something over there by the grill. But
to see the table and chair thrown over there,
and it hit a light and broke it.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, that's about 50 mile an hour winds here. Yeah, at least here at the studio.
It felt stronger than 35 miles an hour over at my
house.
That's
at the airport again.
Yeah, yeah.
But many areas, like I said, around us, 40 to 50 mile an hour winds as that storm pushed through. But again, it'll be quiet for the most part. Isolated storms. Still possible here through about 10 o'clock, and then we'll see a break, and then more storms likely severe between 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock tonight.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather's brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. Time is 7:07. We got a quick break. We'll have a check on your national news when we return, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty, and then Steve Carney Outdoors calls in to talk all things fishing coming up next.
7:11, Steve Carney. Steve Carney Outdoors joins us next. First of all, a quick check on your sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Last night, Cam Miller made his NFL debut in preseason game number 1 for the Raiders. He completed 6 out of 7 passes for 76 yards and a touchdown. Also had one carry for 4 yards. It was a 23-all tie with the Seattle Seahawks. The Vikings begin their preseason slate on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock on NFL Network when they host the Houston Texans. Minnesota Lynx will be hosting the Washington Mystics tonight. Tip-off at 6:30 at the Target Center. Lynx enter with a WNBA best record of 25-5. And on the diamond, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks take down the Lincoln Salt Dogs 7-2 Thursday night to complete the series sweep. Really solid pitching performance from Jake Dykoff, who would strike out seven batters over six in that third innings, only gave up one unearned run in the victory. Dylan Thomas, Jose Sermo, each with home runs and two RBI. Alec Oland also added two runs driven in that victory. Red Hawks off to Sioux City to take on the Explorers. First pitch for tonight's series opener at 7:05. And running out sports here this hour, with the Twins having an off day yesterday, they return home to Target Field to battle the Kansas City Royals. First pitch tonight at 7:10 with Joe Ryan on the mound. Twins are 54-60 on the year and in fourth place in the AL Central, while in third place in the Central is the Royals at 57-58 on the season.
7:13, time now to find Steve Carney. Steve Carney Outdoors. He's brought to you by AutoFix and Ottertail. Find out more at AutoFixRepairs.com. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, you guys. I'm really glad I'm not fishing this morning. It's a little nasty in Lakes Country, but we're getting kind of used to this. We're getting this all the time. It's either wind or rain. It's just been a really weird summer so far.
And there's two more bands of storms coming in yet through today between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m., Dino sang, and 5 and 10 tonight. So probably today, if you get a clear window, it's probably not the best day to be on the water.
Yeah, especially with that front that came in. That's going to take, 14, 18 hours to kind of stabilize. I'll be back on the water tomorrow, and I think things will be fine. But, fishing has held up quite well, considering we've had all these fronts come through with wind and wind changes and lots of rain, and it's held up fairly well for August. It's not as good as June or May, but, we're still catching fish, and they're still shallow. Again, it's just this phenomenon that's been going on all year. Still fishing that 8 to 12 feet, and we're not finding many fish very deep. Water temperatures are actually dropping, which makes no sense for August. It's actually down in the low 70s, and I think that's why these fish are shallow. So, yeah, so far so good. Nothing, major. We've switched to some really super active baits now, mostly bottom bouncers and spinners, which is kind of a staple in August. And what that is like a South Dakota bottom bouncer, we call it. This was invented in the Dakotas. It's the lead weight, kind of a it's kind of a wire apparatus, actually, with a 1 ounce weight on it. And then you run about a 6 foot spinner off the back and you drop it down below the boat and vertically fish it right along the break lines. You got that spinner, very aggressive up high. And what we're trying to do now is trigger these fish to bite. There's so much food. There's minnows everywhere. There's insects everywhere. And just dragging a crawler, dragging a leech is not working. You got to have something aggressive and vibrating and get them to hit that bait. And that's what, these things really work well at this time of the year. There's actually two ways.
I was
going to
say, does it take a little practice to use spinners and bottom bouncers, Steve?
Well, if you have three people in the boat, it can be a real challenge because you're always moving up and down brake lines and, you can get tangled up. But, one or two people, one off each side of the boat, you're fine. There's kind of two ways to do it. I'm fishing, 8 feet of water just above the weeds or along the weeds, and I don't use a bottom bouncer for that. I use a really small little egg sinker that's like an 1/8 ounce and very light, and I drag that on the bottom, and that works really well on the weed lines. But if you're working 15, 18, 19 feet, then you want to fish vertically right below the boat with the bottom bouncer, and you have a little more control on your depth. It's really a fun way to fish, and most of the spinners that you see out there, the commercial ones in the packages, you really don't want those. I mean, the line is super heavy. It's like the mono's 15, 18-pound test. The blades are very aggressive, very large, and the hooks are very large. I just tie my own. Just take 8-pound test, put your beads on there, and put what's called a smile blade on it, which is another South Dakota invention, a really small, light blade. It's kind of like almost aluminum foil. It's really simple, very small, but it's very light, and it vibrates really well. It rises off the bottom, and you have a whole lot less weight going down, using a homemade spinner rig versus the commercial. The commercial ones are just, they sink a lot. They're not up high because, again, the line's too heavy and the blades are usually too big, which is normally a Colorado blade. So I really like these little tiny smile blades. Put a small number 6, number 4 hook on the end. And right now it's working great, especially with like a half a crawler on it. People often ask me, do you like that, double hook set up for a full crawler? I really don't. I just use a single hook and just do half a crawler on it, and you can catch big bluegills on it, walleyes, pretty much everything. And you don't miss many fish with that single hook. So a good way to go, especially through this whole month of August and for sure into September.
Steve, now when it comes to using some of these lures, et cetera, you say something like a bottom bouncer or spinners. Now, it for someone like myself that doesn't, obviously I haven't fished since I was probably a kid, but do you have to do anything specific after you've cast that into the water? I mean, do you just have to reel it in slowly and you get the motion, the movement you need, or do you have to do something specific to get these lures to work properly?
Jace, it's not really a casting bait. It's a trolling bait.
Okay.
And what that means, if I'm, you know, on a break line, let's say at 14 feet, I drop it straight down and then I will back troll 1.1 miles per hour, which is just perfect. Gets the blade moving, it gets it high. And so you're constantly moving. So it's the boat that's making that spinner turn. It's not casting.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just, you know, trolling along the break line. And you want to snake troll. You want to go up to 8, then you go down to 10, and then you go down to 15, and back up to 10. So you cover these completely different depths until you, you know, make contact with the fish, because they could be at 8, they could be at 15. And this way you're exploring with that blade, and it's noisy, it's vibrating, it's going up, it's going down. But it's basically the boat that's, you know, making that work as well as it does. And I like going backwards because I'm old school, but some people use their front trolling motor and drop it over the side. And so you're moving all the time. It's a good way to find fish. You know, if you're having trouble on your normal spots, it's a good way just to go out and, you know, just start covering water.
Steve, you've talked about using a half crawler. In the past, you've talked about using a full crawler or a leech. And you've also said that you love plastics. How do you know what to be using?
Yeah, Bonnie, that's a good question. You know, a lot of it depends on the lake. You know, every lake is different. Now, if you have a lake that's got a ton of perch and small, you know, panfish like sunfish in it, they're going to tear your crawler apart no matter what you do. So I kind of wait and see what results I'm getting. If I'm catching a walleye or two or some bass or whatever, I'll stick to that crawler. But if they're banging me and ripping my crawler off, then I'll go to a plastic. You can use a 6-inch worm, a 4-inch worm, some sort of power minnow, any type of plastic, and then the panfish will peck it and beat on it, but they won't hurt it. You know, they're going to leave it on the hook and you don't have to worry about it. And it's a good walleye catcher. I mean, you can't beat a half a crawler for walleyes, but if you got panfish problems, switch to plastic and it'll be a lot more efficient. And you don't have to be changing your bait all the time.
Well, yeah, bait's expensive, and if you keep losing it, it gets to be an expensive trip out to the lake.
Yeah, it's just frustrating, you know. But if you get on a lake that's got really good bluegills in it, you'll catch a lot of nice 8, 9, 10, you know, inch bluegills on a half a crawler. And that's kind of a bonus because you can run into them just as well as, you know, running into the walleyes, and sometimes both. So, you know, it depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for walleyes, looking for bluegills, looking for crappies. But again, we're going to be switching probably from crawlers here in another few weeks back to minnows again. Leeches dried up about 2 weeks ago, which is too bad because they were working really well, and now you can't even find them. And the season's basically over on leeches. So we'll be going back to minnows here at the end of the month and, you know, getting ready for the fall bite. Oh, by the way, I was going to tell you guys, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I've been out kind of scouting my duck areas, which is not that far away. And I'll tell you, the wild rice crop in Lakes Country is the best I have ever seen. It is everywhere, and there's a lot of local ducks that are using it. And most of the lakes, a lot of the river systems are just choked with this wild rice. And I don't know if it was the low water early in the season or all the water we've had now, but it's the best crop I've ever seen. And that is really cool because I think it's going to hold a lot of local ducks longer. And if we do get some migrants through here, that's going to hold the migrants as well because they love that. I mean, there's just some great opportunities, I think, coming up, you know, in the duck season here in a few weeks. So that's really cool. I'm really happy about that.
Fingers crossed. I know it's been a rough couple of years here, so fingers crossed it will be a good season. All right, Steve, we'll catch you next week, and it looks like a perfect weekend after we get through these storms. It looks like the weather's going to calm down for both Saturday and Sunday. So good luck to you.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too, Steve Carney. Steve Carney Outdoors. You can go to stevecarneyoutdoors.com if you want to message him. You want him to take you out on the water, or he even does guest speaking as well. stevecarneyoutdoors.com, and he is brought to you by AutoFix and Ottertail. Find out more at autofixrepairs.com. Bridget Riedel is going to talk about chocolate and chocolate prices in your WDAY Ag News straight ahead.
7:24, we head out to the farm to talk with Ag Director Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
Fabulous. Aside from the fact that we probably didn't need any more rain last night.
Yeah.
We're there.
And yeah. To be honest, Mother Nature didn't take my call so I could give her a little advice. Mm-hmm. So this is where we're at.
Yeah. Well, way to go.
I really try. All right. So, good news. The Hershey Company says they are not raising prices for Halloween candy this year.
Oh, good.
Thank goodness.
Bad news. Oh. They'll be doing it after that.
Oh.
Hershey and other chocolate makers will have to see a continued price hike because we're seeing situations such as cocoa prices more than doubling over the last 2 years due to poor weather and disease in West Africa. And that's where 70% of the world's cocoa comes from. Cocoa futures, which are binding contracts for specific quantities of cocoa, stood at $7,300 per metric ton recently, with the chance to go up very soon. So right now you're seeing a number of manufacturers saying we're going to hold off. We're going to do what we can because Halloween, especially in the U.S., is generally the highest volume of chocolate that moves. But Nestle did raise U.S. prices for Toll House chips back in the spring. So your cookies, yep, they do cost more. Also, Lindt, the Swiss chocolatier, they raised their prices by almost 16% in the first half of the year. They did offset some of the higher cost of cocoa with more of a long-term contract, but eventually have had to pass on the price. So keep that in mind. Stock up now. It's okay if you buy some chocolate that is in the shape of, I don't know, pumpkins and chop her up and use her even at Christmas time. So
throw them in the freezer if you have to, too. Chocolate prices have really been going up, say, the last 4 or 5 years for sure.
Yes, yes. I've noticed the same thing, that just everything in the chocolate realm has gone up. Mm-hmm. Now, chocolate is always thought of the de-stressor. No, we heard for so long, you should have dark chocolate because it's even better health for you.
Yep.
Well, another de-stressor to keep in mind, North Dakota State Extension is hosting two upcoming webinars on QPR. That is the Question, Persuade, and Refer Suicide Prevention webinars. The first will be on August 14th at 1 o'clock, and then the next will be September 17th at 10 a.m.
I was going to say, that's a little more important than I thought you were going to talk about QR codes or QPR codes.
Yeah, this is a little different than those. And each one is a 90-minute training course, and the conversation is related to suicide prevention, but also helping to mitigate stress, anxiety for you, but for those around you, whether you farm, you are in banking, equipment sales, grain merchandising, all those associated with farm have that same sort of stress. And it might not just be someone who is raising corn or wheat. You might be also raising vegetables in the farmers markets this time of the year, or your bread and butter. And it's a little tougher to keep an eye on the vegetables when they're getting hammered by the consistent rains. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a little help and comfort, that would be a great place. And then a story of success. So when a farmer is no longer a farmer, it can change how they feel. You know, for those who change professions, it can be a big step in a different direction. So Jeff Corley, he's a fourth generation dairy farmer. In the spring of 2022, he realized he couldn't compete anymore and he needed to sell his cows. And it was heart-wrenching and he felt depressed. But what he did do was start writing songs. And there's a song called Empty Barn. He wrote it for a friend and it posted it on Facebook and has thousands of views. And he's now found himself in a slightly new position as a songwriter, past dairy farmer, and then giving keynote concerts, as he calls them, at farm conferences, corporate events, educational meetings. And he realizes he can help others overcome that feeling of depression and anxiety in the agricultural industry, because he's experienced it and he's come out the other side. So nice to have a positive feeling about what's going on for some folks.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, the kind of the joke still remains. I mean, usually there's something sad that happened that leads to a country song. So
oh yeah, exactly. You know. But when you play the country song backwards, you get your dog back, your gun back, your pickup back. Right. this is a guy who made things very positive for himself. Mm-hmm. And he really wants to emphasize the need for men in agriculture to talk about their emotions and how they're doing as
yeah.
well.
And going back to the QPR training in rural mm-hmm. towns, is that something that is just available for farmers, or is it available mm-hmm. for anyone? Because obviously...
Anyone.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, that's the important part. Because obviously, if you're, you know, you may be in a rural town. I know that my family, obviously, we were not... farmers, but my dad worked at the grain elevator, which obviously could have, you know,
well, it's
spun
still part
off.
Of ag.
Well, it's still part of ag, but it's also, you know, if there's a down year in the ag world, it could affect, you know, dad at work. So mm-hmm. It's one of those things where no matter what field you're in, I think QPR training could very well be important to a lot of us, because you never know when someone may or may not be struggling.
Sure. Absolutely. And what if you're serving on a rural fire department mm-hmm. or a rural ambulance squad? Mm-hmm. What yeah. a great way to pick up some tips and best management practices to help others. And
yeah.
I know I talk a lot about mental health on the farm, but I think it's important, and we can't lose sight of it, because so much of our state is rural.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's important for everybody, even if you yeah. live in town.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. So today on Weather and Ag in Focus, we get to visit with Grant Jones. He is with Chundi Land and Cattle Company and Champion Shrimp. Because if you talk about a guy who's literally raising surf and turf, cattle, and shrimp on the same farm, well, Grant's your guy. So I think that'll be a fun conversation, yeah. how to go about raising your shrimp.
Well, I didn't know you could be a champion shrimp producer. I guess I just didn't imagine shrimp being that athletic. So,
hey, you know what? If you're the only guy in Nebraska doing it, you can call him whatever you would like.
I am the grand champion, the greatest in the world.
Welcome to my Nebraska farm.
There so, you go.
We'll talk to Grant here a little bit later today. But if you have questions, you can send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com.
All right. Thanks, Bridget.
Have a great day.
You bet. Continuing to see a lot of photos posted on social media, National Weather Service Facebook page of lots of tree damage, Grand mm-hmm. Forks, East Grand Forks, Northwood areas up there. Also Castleton. We've gotten a couple different messages, too, into our studio about tree damage in Castleton. Earlier we had seen WDAY television showing there was some type of structure collapse in Jamestown, and they had construction debris thrown about as well. And then we had talked to Lindsay up in Grand Forks earlier about home damage there, one wall on their bedroom blown out. You could see, based on the picture she showed us, insulation and other debris right there on the bed. And then one of their outbuildings that they used to store classic vehicles also destroyed in that storm. Looks like Grand Forks Air Force Base right around that area in Grand Forks. Winds over 90 miles an hour. Dina with more on the forecast coming up. It is 7:31. 7:33, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on our forecast. Is that next band of storms, is that starting to build yet or no?
No. We've got a little bit of isolated storms between Hillsboro and Grand Forks. Now, looking over some of the damage reports, and now that it's light out, and Grand Forks County, it looks like, took it on the chin.
Mm.
Grand Forks County got hit with the heaviest winds. What we're seeing is up to 90 mile-an-hour winds in Grand Forks County. They got the brunt of this, and there has been some damage up there, and we'll pass that along as we get more information in as well. Our highest winds here, at least at the studio, were 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts. Up on the roof, we got up on the roof, it was 74-mile-an-hour wind gusts.
Okay.
So
up on the roof, Dean got blown off.
I don't know who's hanging up on the roof, but, you know.
He landed on our patio, and that's why we have a broken light now.
But, yeah, we had 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts here at the studio. So it definitely a little bit of minor damage, maybe some patio furniture thrown about. But we'll see a break. Again, a few more isolated storms this morning, but then we'll generally be dry between noon and about 4 or 5 o'clock. And then we'll see more storms redevelop between 5 and 10 o'clock tonight. They'll develop maybe about 30, 40 miles west of the valley, and then move into the valley and then into Lakes Country. They'll be quick moving. So only between about 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock tonight are we expecting those storms. And we will see some of those turn severe, it looks like, with large hail being the main threat. But we could see some damaging winds as well. Highs today, lower 80s and south-southeast winds 10 to 20, switching to the west-northwest late this evening. Then storms end tonight. It'll be a quiet one, thank goodness. Lows in the lower 60s, west winds 10 to 20, and a breezy weekend, but dry and less humid, with highs both days right around 81. We do warm up into the mid-80s later next week, but no more 70s in the forecast. I see all 80s. which is a little more typical for August. But, man, the humidity yesterday, boy, you knew something had to pop, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was just, it was real sticky out there. And like I said earlier, if we see sunshine this afternoon, those storms that do develop this evening are expected to be more severe if we see the sunshine. Mm-hmm. If we don't see the sunshine, then we're going to see they won't be as severe, let's put
right,
it that
okay.
way, or as widespread. So, again, the key this afternoon is how much sunshine do we see? Let's hope for a cloudy afternoon.
And if you had to put odds on it being a cloudy afternoon, is it pretty good odds?
Well, we'll see. I do believe we'll see some breaks in the clouds
okay.
this afternoon. Just the question is how much.
Okay. Yeah. And that's
going to be the key to how bad the weather gets this evening.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. I know you will be as well,
absolutely,
Dean.
Bud.
All right. The weather is brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated since 1979 with three convenient Fargo locations. And you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now just about 7:37. We got to check in your national news. Big Game James McCarty returns for your WDAY Radio Sports Update. And then Dean will return for your 3-degree guarantee.
7:40, Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports.
In his NFL, even though preseason debut, Cam Miller played pretty darn well for the Raiders, completing 6 of 7 passes for 76 yards and a touchdown. He also had one carry for 4 yards. It was a 23-all tie with the Seattle Seahawks. The Raiders had a chance to win it all win it all for that game with Daniel Carlson, a 55-yard field goal as time expired. But one of the big mitts of a defensive lineman got a paw on it and blocked it for the Seahawks to keep that game at a tie. The Vikings will begin their preseason slate on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock when they host the Houston Texans. That game will be available on NFL Network. Game will be played at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks would complete the series sweep of the Lincoln Salt Dogs with a 7-2 win on Thursday night. Jake Dykoff struck out 7 batters over 6 1/3 innings, only gave up 1 unearned run in that victory. Dylan Thomas, Jose Sermo, and Alec Oland, all 3 driving in 2 runs apiece in the victory. Redhawks off to Sioux City now to battle the Explorers. First pitch of that series opener tonight at 7:05. Minnesota Twins will take on the Kansas City Royals tonight. They're going to be at Target Field in Minneapolis, scheduled for a 7:10 first pitch. Joe Ryan on the mound for Minnesota. Noah Cameron covering for KC. The Twins enter in fourth place in the AL Central at 54 and 60, on the season. The Royals are 57 and 58 on the year and third place in the division. Twins are 2.5 games behind the Royals for third place in the division. They're 11 games behind Detroit for the division lead. And the Twins are also 6.5 games back of New York, the Yankees, for that third and final wild card spot in the American League. And we do have the PGA Tour St. Jude Championship, TPC Southwind in Memphis, Tennessee. Golfers began teeing off about 20 or so minutes ago this morning. There we go. Now my score is updating for us. Oh, so what? Akshay Bhatia. I'm trying to get it down, guys. Under par. He is in the lead. He tees off at 10:50 this morning. Tommy Fleetwood's in second at 7 under. He tees off at 9:25. You have a 3-way tie for third at 6 under par. Tom Hoagie is right now 3 over par, tied for 65th. He tees off his second round at 11 a.m. A smaller tournament this weekend where I believe it's only about 70 golfers in this weekend's tournament for whichever reason. So, yes, 69 golfers, actually, in this weekend's tournament. So, top 34, 35-ish will make the cut. So, Tom, with a ton of work to do, probably would have to shoot 5 or 6 under, I would guess, today to be able to make the cut, just to make up that ground that he lost yesterday. So, we'll see how things transpire as we get into the weekend. And NASCAR this weekend, they're at Watkins Glen in New York. Craftsman Truck Series is at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The Xfinity Series at 2 on Saturday, and the Cup Series 1 p.m. on NBC Sports on Sunday afternoon.
7:43, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We've been talking about this grain elevator fire up in Shelley, Minnesota. That'd be off Highway 75, between Moorhead and Crookston, about the midway point there. Numerous fire departments have responded to the scene of that. It looks fully involved from the pictures I'm seeing people share in local Facebook groups here. Moorhead Fire Department, Felton Fire Department, looks like Grandin, Twin Valley, and other surrounding communities also paged out to help battle that fire there. Sounded like they had a portion of Highway 75, which runs right past the elevator there, closed down as well. So not sure if it was storm related, but there were some really strong thunderstorms rolling through Norman County right about the time of that. Also in Jamestown, we had word earlier this morning, too. I don't really have any updates, but emergency crews still on the scene of some type of structure collapse in Jamestown. It was near 8th Avenue and 14th Street Southeast, and police were telling residents to stay out of that area. They also had, as the storms rolled through Jamestown, a bunch of construction debris in the construction zones that was tossed about. So,
looking at one of those pictures, Bonnie, up there in Shelley, Minnesota, mm-hmm. obviously they need that highway open to get other fire crews
right,
there.
Right, right.
And I was talking like off air, you know, you got to worry about the fertilizer shed that maybe if they have one nearby, obviously if they have an anhydrous ammonia tank. But also a lot of times if they've got a grain elevator with grain being stored in there, sometimes that grain dust and stuff like that, that can cause like an explosion too. So,
yeah, and it's not looking good. I mean, I see one of the Facebook posts, I see at least three parts of the grain elevator
yep.
there, the bins that are fully mm-hmm. involved in.
Yeah. It's not a good situation. And obviously those that come from rural communities, farmers, et cetera, they know how dangerous these grain elevator fires can be. But the way those three structures that, at least this first picture I saw from DAY TV, I mean, that looks pretty nasty, and I don't know how they're going to come out of this. Because those things, especially if it's an older grain elevator, I mean, those can be primarily wood on the inside of them, and man, they can go up in a hurry. So
yeah, they did some evacuations too mm-hmm. Nearby there. So we'll keep you posted on latest developments as they come to us. Also, lots of tree damage in Castleton. We've seen multiple reports of that. We've got a couple different emails in, pictures attached. And then, as we told you earlier this morning, we had Lindsay from Grand Forks on the air with us. Her home bedroom wall basically blew out. She and her significant other were just waking up. They got some alerts on their phones, and then that system hit there. So they've lost at least one wall that caved in. We could see debris, insulation right there on the bed. And then they also have an outbuilding on the property, which she said basically was blown apart.
Mm.
And they have old classic cars stored in there. We see the highest winds through the Grand Forks area, Grand Forks County, 91 miles an hour. Lots of people sharing photos of downed trees on the National Weather Service Facebook page as well. If you have any storm damage reports to pass along, our phone lines are always open to you. 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is in next with your 3-degree guarantee. 7:48, time now for your 3-degree guarantee, brought to you by the Window and Door Store with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
All right, we're going by what you had on the website.
See, that's BS.
That's BS. I can't help it. You know, show up. Show up to work.
Oh, sorry, I was in the hospital.
Yeah, so what? I was in the hospital. Big deal. You're here now, just like I am. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Touche.
No, we took what you had on the website tomorrow or yesterday morning,
and
you had
90
at the time.
I did change it later in the afternoon, but that's
Didn't we get to at least 88 yesterday?
86 we hit.
86?
86, yeah.
Oh, it was so, 88 in my house, so you were right in West Fargo.
It was 88 inside your house? Maybe you ought to get your air conditioner fixed.
At my house.
Oh, okay. All right.
So 86.
So 86. So Bill S. Bill, I've sent you an email. Congratulations. You win one of our keychains. We're going to have to start giving away like rain gauges or something. Something a little bigger and better.
Then I might even put my name in for that.
Exactly.
I mean, a rain gauge? Have you seen those? Those are awesome.
I know.
I mean, the keychains are all right.
Yeah, they're okay.
They got the thermometer.
Yeah,
those
are
good for like you throw them in your freezer. Make sure your freezer's working properly.
That would be one.
The temperature's right in there. I got our old freezer. What can I say?
Today we're going to go 83 for today's 3-degree guarantee. Again, we're going to see more storms redevelop after 5 o'clock. We'll see some isolated storms between 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock this morning, but that won't be a big deal. But
is that going to be storms or just rain?
Storms. And
again,
and some of those could be severe as we head into the evening hours. So we'll keep a close eye on that.
I meant the morning ones, though.
The morning ones are fine. No, those
morning,
will be non-severe.
Is this going to be just rain?
Non-severe hit and miss, basically from Hillsboro up to Grand Forks, most of it north of the FM area.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dean.
You got it.
All right. The 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store, and it is 83, Bonnie. Did you write that down?
I did. And
okay, thank
you. From scratch because he blew it. I did.
Well, you know, like I said, I thought he was going to be right. I thought it was like 88 over in West Fargo. So, unfortunately, not where he takes his numbers from.
I guess so.
It's too bad.
It was hot, but I expected it to be even hotter. I
It felt plenty hot. I stayed inside. I wasn't gonna deal with that heat yesterday. Were you kidding me?
Yeah, I hear you. 7:51, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. 7:53 coming up next in your Money and Markets. We'll take a look at how weekly jobless claims did. All that and more, Money and Markets straight ahead. And coming up Monday morning, Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. We bring it to you each and every day right around that time. Brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairers. We're going to be showcasing Neil Sedaka, Chic, Ray Parker Jr., and Bruce Springsteen. All that and more Monday morning on Flatland Music Flashback.
Did you say Chic?
Yes, I said Chic.
Chic?
He's mouthing to me. Chick, it looks like Chick.
I said Chic. You didn't have my microphone on, so you couldn't hear me.
I know I didn't, but you're like...
Because I wanted to ask. I was like, that's a performer?
LaFreak.
Oh, LaFreak.
You know that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Wall Street closed. The stocks mixed yesterday. It comes as investors are concerned about the impact of tariffs that took effect yesterday. Elsewhere, Eli Lilly saw a drop in shares after late-stage trial results of an obesity pill didn't please investors. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 244 points, S&P 500 dropped by 5, and the NASDAQ gained 73.
224.
224 is a big drop, but it's so-so. Yeah. The other two, I mean, NASDAQ was up.
I thought you said 244. I'm just saying. But I think overall, it looks, and my information looks like the market remained fairly steady. So,
yeah.
I mean, we've got these little ripples, little dips. I mean, it's just a little bit of a bumpy road. It's time for the little correction stuff. President Trump is selecting Stephen Moran to serve on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. Moran, who serves as chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, was tapped for the board after Adriana Kugler resigned last Friday. President Trump congratulated Moran in a post on True Social and praised him for his unparalleled economic expertise. Moran will serve out Kugler's term, which expires January 31st, 2026. So just, five months, as the Trump administration continues to search for a permanent replacement. Mm.
President Trump, meanwhile, is calling for the CEO of Intel to resign.
Hmm.
President made a post to Truth Social arguing that Lip-Bu Tan is highly conflicted and must resign immediately. His comments follow Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton's letter to the semiconductor firm earlier in the week questioning Tan over concerns of his ties to China. Reuters previously reported that the Intel exec had investments in hundreds of Chinese tech firms, with at least 8 of them having ties to the Chinese military.
I mean, maybe that's just what he's investing in. I don't know. More Americans than expected found themselves filing first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week. Hmm. The Labor Department says it received 226,000 initial requests in the week ending August 2nd. That's an increase of 7,000 from the previous week's revised. It's also a few thousand more than most analysts had been expecting.
Look, I mean, I think it's going to be cool if we ever get flying taxis, right? Like the Jetsons mobiles. I mean,
I want my own flying car. I want to be able to do the flying myself, Bonnie.
Yeah,
I mean,
Well, flying car. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Uber though is talking with banks and private equity firms to get the cash it wants to expand its robo taxi business. Company's been making partnerships with automakers to build its footprint in the self-driving taxi industry. In the meantime, the company says it'll use some of its annual $7 billion in cash flow to deploy robo-taxis. It currently offers rides in Austin and Atlanta.
So Uber is a company that actually owns no vehicles. Well, I mean, obviously, maybe these robo-taxis they do. But they don't own vehicles normally. They have people use their own vehicles to shuttle people around. I mean, It's a great idea because there's a company that basically offers taxi services without having to have a giant fleet of vehicles.
These aren't the flying ones. These are the ones on the ground.
But these are on the ground. So it's interesting that they would want to get into the self-driving taxi because, I mean, do they not want to pay the drivers their share? I mean, I'm wondering.
Dean said he rode in one in Arizona.
One or was it a different company?
I don't know, but he thought it was weird, which
it would be weird. Well, it's weird because the way they set up the vehicles, they make it so obviously a driver could drive that vehicle, I think, in the need to. But so you've got an empty seat in the front where the driver would normally be, and there's the steering wheel and everything else. So to me, it seems like you wouldn't really need that, especially if it's completely autonomous. Why would you need a steering wheel and a driver's seat and et cetera?
Because
you
can make it different. If something goes awry, you can take over maybe? I don't know.
Not if you're stuck in the back seat as a passenger of this Uber. I'm just saying.
I mean, maybe it'll be the norm in another 10 years or something. But
yeah,
it's
interesting.
Weird.
So it's funny, like I said, a company that doesn't really normally own any vehicles is now going to have robot vehicles to drive everybody anywhere. So either they don't want vehicles in their thing to hire drivers to drive, or they don't want people anymore, and they'll just have the Uber app drive their own vehicles.
We're being replaced by robots. I remember being afraid of that when we were kids growing up.
I am Jason AI.
Exactly. You might have a clone out there cloning you already.
I know.
You just never know. 8 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 8:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki back with a check on our stormy, and it's going to be stormy again. Yet a couple more rounds yet coming in.
Yeah, we've got another round coming in between about 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock tonight, and then we should be good to go. But, boy, we did receive it. We're getting damage reports now. Around the Microsoft campus off 42nd
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Trees down there. So it's this end of town, the south end of town here. We've got our patio furniture blown all the way out towards the fence there. So
it's probably what woke Bentley up this morning. He was a little afraid. I'm like, it's not major here, bud. Just, you know,
right.
We'll wake you up
yeah.
if you need
no,
to be
concerned.
No,
we had 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts here at the studio, and that kind of coincides out towards the Microsoft campus as well.
Yeah,
so,
makes sense.
Yeah, so a little damage there. But the worst of it was up in Grand Forks County where they we'll wait and see what the damage reports were, but unconfirmed tornado in Grand Forks County up around in Grand Forks. So we'll wait and see how what the Weather Service has to say about that. But definitely wind damage across parts of the area. Now we'll see some quiet weather. Still a few scattered morning storms, but those are expected to be non-severe. Then we'll see a break in the afternoon. And if we see enough sunshine, we could have another round of severe weather. I think we're still going to see scattered severe storms between 5 and 10. But if we see enough sunshine this afternoon, those could be elevated a little bit. So we'll keep an eye on that. Lower 80s, 83 today, with winds out of the south, southeast, 10 to 20, switching to the west, northwest. Now, as we head into tonight, the storms will move out of the area. It'll be a quiet night. Lows in the low 60s with west winds, 10 to 20. And tomorrow and Sunday look much nicer. A little breezy out of the west with partly cloudy skies, less humid with highs in the low 80s. So the weekend doesn't look too bad. A little on the breezy side, but storm-free. So
yeah,
that's good
after
news.
We get through today.
That is good. Yeah, we still have that round between 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock. We'll be keeping a close eye on that.
Is this earlier one that you were talking about earlier, between 9 and 1, that won't be as widespread?
No, that's just scattered stuff, non-severe.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
That'll be okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dino. It's 8:05. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. And then Adam and Scott from F5 Project will be joining us. We'll talk what they're all about, and they're also hosting a golf tournament and why you should be aware of them and all the good things they're doing here in our community. All that and more coming up here on Bonnie and Friends. 8:09, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We're going to talk with the guys from F5 Project here in Fargo coming up in just a bit. First of all, a quick check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Last night, preseason football saw three different games. The Eagles defeat the Bengals 34-27. Second game has disappeared now. At this point, there we go. Baltimore defeated Indianapolis 24-16. Then the Raiders tied the Seahawks 23 apiece. The Seahawks did block a field goal as time expired. That would have potentially been the game winner for the Raiders. Cam Miller did complete 6 of 7 passes for Vegas for 76 yards and a touchdown. He did have a carry for 4 yards as well. The former Bison trying to make his way on the roster here in the next couple of weeks. PGA Tour St. Jude Championship in Memphis, Tennessee. Akshay Bhatia in the lead at 8-under par. Tommy Fleetwood in second at 7-under. And the three-way tie for third at 6-under par. Tom Hoagie tied for 65th at 3-over par. He'll begin his second round at 11 a.m. later on this morning. Minnesota Lynx will be back at the Target Center tonight to host the Washington Mystics. 6:30 is tip-off. The Lynx are the best record in the league at 25-5 on the season. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks ended their homestand with a 7-2 win over the Lincoln Salt Dogs, completing the series sweep. 2 runs apiece driven in by Dylan Thomas, Jose Sermo, and Alec Olund. They're now in Sioux City tonight to begin a series against the Explorers. 7:05 will be first pitch here this evening. And the Twins, after an off day yesterday, return home to the friendly confines at Target Field. They'll host the Kansas City Royals. First pitch at 7:10. Joe Ryan on the mound for Minnesota. And as well, on Saturday afternoon, Vikings football returns preseason game number 1 of 3 at 3 in the afternoon. NFL Network's coverage can be found, the Vikings hosting the Houston Texans.
8:11, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. Want to showcase one of these great nonprofits in our community doing great things. Scott Coolidge from F5 Project joining us now on Bonnie and Friends. Good morning to you, Scott.
Good morning.
It's closing in on 10 years for F5 Project, isn't it? You guys are getting ready to mark 10 years pretty quick here?
Pretty close.
Another
pretty
year, close. Or is it 2016?
2016 was the official was 2017, but he started in 2016.
And changing lives. Tell our listeners, for those who aren't familiar, what you do at F5 Project.
Cool. Yeah. So we are a nonprofit, and we provide services for transitional housing, people reentering into society from prisons, jails, treatment centers. We work with people dealing with addiction, whether that's drugs, alcohol, mental health, homelessness. So our goal is to meet people where they're at and continue to try to help them, support them as a community. One of the biggest things we see is that people are, as they're going through these difficult times, is the barriers that they run into, you know, for employment, education,
housing,
yeah, transportation, recovery. You know, so those are the four pillars that we really work towards, is safe housing, education, employment, recovery, and keeping them law-abiding so they're not getting in trouble.
Because if you can't find housing and you can't find a job or whatever, you're just going to throw your hands up and you're going to be back where you started, I imagine, if you don't have somebody here helping you walk the walk and try to stay on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we find is that, you know, recovery is important. I myself am in recovery. I've over 12 years have been in recovery and sober. And my life has changed drastically because of that. And there he is.
Oh, man, Adam's coming up in to join our party. Come on in, Adam. We'll throw Adam over here too. But yeah, you're right.
So the idea is that as we are working with individuals, women, men, whatever it happens to be, that we're helping them support them. And I think the biggest thing for us is, you know, we're not going to change anybody. It's not our job to change people. What our job is to provide the opportunity for change. And what they do with that, because sometimes there isn't success. You know, it's like everything else in life. Mm-hmm. There's times where people just aren't ready to make those changes and change that lifestyle. But the people that are, we get to see some amazing things
you
come
bet.
Out of it.
CEO Adam Martin joining us now, too. And as Scott mentioned, he's in recovery. You've walked this path. And for people who are going through F5 Project, they see you guys. And they can see that you, too, have had struggles. But you can change and make yourself a better person and lead a better, clean life, too. Right, Adam?
Yeah. I just want it to be known that I have 3 months more sobriety than Scott.
Congratulations to both of you.
Yeah, there it is.
And it feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
This
it
is
does.
A good life, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. And being involved in this, helping others, it probably helps you guys as well continue with your sobriety.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a few different reasons. One, it reminds us where we came from, right? And I always tell the guys, if they do it right once, they never have to do it again. Because that's my experience, because I tried getting sober from 2000 to 2013 and never stayed sober longer than a couple months that whole time. And then just this vicious cycle of insanity, you know, doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. Really what it was is I just didn't accept help.
Right.
Is what it was. It was too hard for me to ask for help from other people or a higher power or whatever. And I would just rely on self. And the problem with that is when you go to bed at night and there's no one there and you're not doing anything to enhance your life or your internals or anything like that, it's just that's when the demons come out. And you just start repetitively thinking about all the stuff from your past. And then you just, that little voice in the back of your head tells
and
you.
Whether it's addiction or mental health issues, that's the first step. You have to be willing to accept help.
And that's something it's difficult to learn and to accept. I know just from my own health journey I went on last year, it's tough to get to that point where you're comfortable allowing others to help you with certain things. It's tough to learn how to accept saying, I need help doing this. Now, obviously, your guys' journey is different than mine because it wasn't a health issue, but
it's weird to go through that and then kind of finally come through that other side and realize it's okay to ask for help. It's okay for you to have someone else do something for you. You don't always have to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. And I think the other interesting thing, we've talked to a number of kind of projects, kind of like the F5 project, where you're helping people through recovery. And I think you guys being there as over 12 years now of sobriety for both of you, to be able to be an example, because I think that's the most, that one of the things I learned through my health stuff was that having those support groups and having people that have gone through what you've gone through, that is the best kind of support, because you really take their words to heart, because you know, like, they've been through this, they know what to expect, they can lead you through what to expect, and it makes things a lot easier when you're going through that process of recovery, right?
Yeah, and that's the whole project for us, mm-hmm. is that most of the people that work at F5 have lived experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I need to go, like, if I have a plumbing issue or whatever, right, I need a plumber, someone yeah. who's got experience in doing that. You know, I can try and do it myself,
uh-huh.
but, you know, the people that help me get to that person are probably other people who have had plumbing issues.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
I start talking mm-hmm. to them and hearing how they got through it, who they used, yep. who they asked for help, and then I just kind of copy that journey.
Well, and then does the F5 project kind of, in a sense, not, wouldn't use the word self-replicate, but keep kind of serving itself? Because once you're able to go through that recovery process and become someone who has been recovered, been sober, then you want to turn on and help that next batch of people that come into the project, correct?
Yeah. Correct. You want to pay it forward, you know. Mm-hmm. And right now we have several employees, mm-hmm. team members we call them, not employees, mm-hmm. that were participants of ours that are now helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I've experienced it, watched it unfold, watching somebody be on the other side of that desk and now they're behind that desk and they're ones telling their story to that person. Mm-hmm. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. We have a gentleman out in Jamestown. We have a program called the Kishne Warrior Lodge, where we do trauma-informed training inside the prison through DOCR, mm-hmm. which is a great partner of ours, North Dakota DOCR. And that gentleman himself served time in the James River Correctional Center. He's mm-hmm. our director out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the coolest stories is he went through this correctional officer training, did all the things, got the keys and the radio. And he's standing in front of a door, and he's standing there, and he's just standing there. And all of a sudden, somebody, one of the COs or the other people walk by and say, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Well, I'm waiting for open the door." He goes, "You have keys." And he's like, "Oh, my God, I have keys."
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the power of – and then for those guys that are in there that did time with him
mm-hmm.
are looking at him going, "Whoa,
yeah.
how does this happen?"
Yeah.
And then they start to see the process, and I think that's exactly what you're talking yeah. about.
Right.
Whether it's health, whatever we're doing in life yep. – as long as we have, sometimes it's just having that pattern or that,
yeah.
that path in front of us that somebody's walked.
And to know that it can be done.
Can be done. And,
yeah.
and our job isn't to do the work for them.
Yeah.
We tell our the people we work with all the time, mm-hmm. it's not. I'm not going to do the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
That's for you. If you give 100%, I'm going to give 100%. Mm-hmm. But if you're giving 20% and I'm giving 80%, this isn't going to
yeah.
work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'd walk beside them. And that's what I was talking about when we meet them where they're at.
Right. Yeah.
And that's a part of it is I can't tell you. They've heard all the time
mm-hmm.
from all the people we work with. They've been shut on so much.
Yeah.
And what I call that is you should do this. You shouldn't
yeah,
do
right.
that. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not my job to tell you how to live your life.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be lectured.
No,
no right? exactly.
Because no. mm-hmm. they've heard it from the courts, from their POs.
Yep.
From their parents, from everybody in the system has yep. told them how they should or shouldn't act.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our job to show them how you can do this on your own. It's person-centered.
You bet. Adam, how many people approximately are you guys helping, say, like, is it a monthly basis or a yearly basis?
Somebody? A million. Who knows?
It's not that high. I
everybody.
Nope.
I'd say it's under 1,000, but it's mm-hmm. it's probably somewhere between, you know, being the jail meetings, the prison meetings, the... you know, the reentry, the housing, the all of it, it's probably mm-hmm. around 600-700 people a month.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That we actually serve. But the other cool piece is that we see a lot of is family members.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing stories, you know, Adam does a great job in social media and getting us out there and showing what we're doing. And what those people, it's family members that don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And they're just struggling with, I because we don't understand. The reason we understand is because we lived it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
why
right.
can't somebody just quit drinking or quit using drugs? Their life will get better. Well, it's not that easy. If it's that easy, everybody would do it.
I well, often exactly. see posts in Facebook groups. Somebody's like, I just got out of jail, or my so-and-so is a sex offender or whatever. Who can help me? And oftentimes people say, get a hold of Adam over at F5 Project. You guys have the resources to connect people with, you know, you just know which direction might be able to help out that person needing help.
Yeah, that's way better comments today than it was 12 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And good for you. And I love the smiles on both of your faces. All right. So you guys have a golf tournament coming up. We can help raise some funds for F5 Project. Give us some more details on it.
Yeah. So it's at the Moorhead Country Club. This is our fourth year of doing the golf tournament. We started out with about, I think, 18 teams the first year, about 24 the second, and last year we had a full tournament, 36 teams. So we're pretty excited about that. It's on Monday, September 22nd. Our registration at 11, shotgun start at noon. It's over at the Moorhead Country Club. They've been our host for the last 4 years, or this is the fourth year. They do an amazing job. We have super support from the community. If you want to be a part of it, we have teams that you can be on, and that'll provide you with dinner. It'll be four people on a team, and then the prizes after, and then we also do a little piece on there which we've added, where we have some people with our lived experience that have had F5 as a part of their life come and speak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great!
And it kind of tells the people that are in the crew, you know, because a lot of people are there golfing, might not know exactly what we do, or there's somebody else brought them with to golf, and we have them share part of their story, or somebody that's transitioned through one of our houses, through one of our programs.
Yeah, and I took part in the golf tournament last year, and it was fantastic. You guys did a great job. And, yeah, community support, when people are struggling, that's important. We can't have the community turning our backs on everybody, because without community and being part of the community, it'd be pretty tough.
Yeah, it's. I think community is the anti-drug, right?
Yeah.
It's the one thing in all recovery platforms or all reentry platforms or everything. It's the one common denominator for success is a good community.
So when you guys have participants that go through the program, are you guys also offering maybe some type of support groups or something? You had mentioned, Scott, you know, like the family members are coming and you know, they have to deal with this. Are you guys able to provide some support for those family members when they have a loved one going through this program?
Yeah, we provide, you know, individual support. We can provide group support. We have the ability to, you know, let them talk to somebody that's been through it to understand it, and other family members that have utilized one of their family members have utilized F5 in the services that we provide. We also have transitional housing that we provide support groups within the housing as part of their going through our program that they're required to do. So we have different opportunities that allow people to come and bring that information, somebody share with them how they went through it, just like you had talked about the health thing. It's a perfect example of how they just mirror each other as far as what we're trying to do. So
F5project.org, and I know if you guys want to go check them out to learn more, if you need help, you want to volunteer, you're looking for a job, you want to make a donation because you believe in what they're doing, F5project.org. And if you want to golf in the tournament, get a hold of Rachel, 701-317-1777, and we do have that number. If you need us to repeat it for you, we can certainly do that, and we'll save it. Guys, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Keep up the great work,
both
of you. F5 Project here on Bonnie and Friends. Scott Coolidge and Adam Martin joining us live in studio. It is 8:24 right now. We're heading to the American Ag Network. 8:27, we can smell the weekend. Have to get through another band of strong storms tonight. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki keeping us updated on that. But the weekend looking lovely, storm-free, cooler temps, so get out and enjoy. And weekends are made to enjoy time with family and friends. Great time also to give thanks and salute those who make it possible. Our military and first responders out there for us every single day. And when you're enjoying your time with family and friends, here's a beer you might not have tried yet. The finest of Italian beers, Peroni, is a name well known for being delicious beer.
There you go. Peroni Nastro Azzurro has been brewed with superior ingredients since 1963. It gives it a unique, uplifting taste as a pale, golden, crisp, and refreshing beer with a delicate balance of bitterness, citrus, and aromatic notes, and a great, clean finish. Some would call it, Bonnie, a modern Italian masterpiece. That's usually what your nickname around the office is.
Yes, it is.
You simply need to just taste it for yourself. Peroni Nastro Azzurro, now available in your favorite local liquor stores. And remember to salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and those first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo.
Coffee Club, Janae and Ronnie have arrived in studio. Good
happy
morning
Friday,
to you.
Happy Friday. Happy
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah. Somebody's excited for the weekend.
Hello.
You're a Northsider. I don't know if you got woken up by the storm, but Ronnie, did you sleep through that storm, the strong winds that rolled through?
My wife said the same thing to me. Yeah, I had
what
the,
time?
Had the CPAP on.
3:30, 4-ish.
It was 4:15. It was hitting West Fargo. So.
Okay.
I had my CPAP on. I was hunting for MIGs, you know. So, yeah.
There wasn't a whole, just a couple
bogey
of...
Bogey 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
I only he pretends heard, he's a fighter pilot with it on.
Might as well.
I know? Only heard a couple little thunder rumbles, because Bentley was here with Dean, got woken up and brought in with Dean early, and he was a little afraid, so I gave him a hug and told him it was okay. Locally, like, we're fine. But then when the light came up...
Yeah, know, when we finally were able to see outside.
Daylight, yeah. All of our patio furniture got tossed
I
out.
I see this, yeah.
I thought when I woke up this morning, I looked outside, I thought there was a street light, like, flicking. Or something because it was flashing so much. And I looked out the east side of the house and I'm like, well, everything seems fine. But then to the west, that storm front was just moving in. So
yeah.
Thankfully, I got the dog out in time for no wet paws. So yeah. That was nice.
Dog owners, you got to do it in between. But mm-hmm. Nonetheless, I mean, a lot of storm, tree damage in the Jamestown area and then up in Grand Forks County and even a house damaged up there as well.
Yeah, so, I saw there was a tornado warning in mm-hmm. Stutzman yep. County.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And up in Grand Forks County, Norman County, they've got a grain elevator fire up there that
Shelley,
maybe
yeah.
was storm related. That was about the time
yeah,
when they had the storm a bad storm going through. Yeah.
So damage, a lot of damage last night. Yeah. So or early this morning, should say.
Early this morning. And you guys will continue to keep an eye on that for us, too, and update us with any info. What else is coming up on the show today?
We have a very special guest, John Delzel. He is a very good friend of ours. He does the Brady Oberg mm-hmm. Ruck March, and they did something absolutely beautiful. The other day, it was the 10-year anniversary mm-hmm. of when Brady lost his battle to PTSD. And on that anniversary, John and three others were able to place a wreath in Brady's honor at the Arlington National Cemetery. So he's going to come on and we're going to talk about that and the Ruck March.
Very cool.
Yeah, very, very mm-hmm. cool. Mm-hmm. He was sending me pictures out there when they were in D.C. and even the pictures gave me tears.
Yeah,
very cool. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to see John.
Mm-hmm.
And then pickleball, National Pickleball Day today.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
John from Quartz and Pints is going to chat with us too.
That's on our possible list of things to do for the family today. So,
well, and it's close
Bonnie,
by
you.
It's
go,
I've been there before. Yeah. It's a really cool.
Oh, you place. Have been there oh, yeah. before? Have yep. you played?
Yeah.
I want to play so bad. I haven't yet, but right. I want to.
All right. We can get a foursome. Maybe Ronnie and Dean will come play with us one day.
Or ooh, I'm serious. I really want to do it.
Yeah, I've got paddles. So we have paddles to use.
Do I have to buy a special outfit?
No, don't invest money. I'll let you borrow one of my paddles.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Bonnie said, I've got paddles, I'm like, whoa.
Hey, now.
Bend over, Ronnie.
That's how she keeps us in line.
Do I exactly. need to get, like, a tennis skirt and
you
stuff?
Can. Is that what they wear? A week or so ago, there was one woman that had a tennis skirt on.
Okay.
I just had shorts on. I was athletic looking.
That's because you were there to win.
And Logan and I beat Milos and Carly, so life
way to go.
Good.
That, exactly. Way to go.
You know why that is because Carly's not much of an athlete.
That is true.
So it was basically you and Logan against Milos.
Yeah.
I'm not very quick these days, though.
It's fun. You don't have to be.
Why am I all of a sudden thinking of that tennis scene in Seinfeld where he's taking on the tennis pro Milos or whatever? Yeah. He's like, yeah, I want to show out in front of my girlfriend, so if you could take it easy. I mean,
It'll be fun. All right, looking forward to it. You guys have a great weekend.
You too.
Jace, let's get out of here.
You betcha.
Monday morning, 5 o'clock, we'll be back. Stay tuned for the Coffee Club with Janae and Ronnie. That's coming up.